Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the double marathon. Glad you're all here. Actually, it's a little more than a double marathon, because I think we are now up to 60 bills that we're going to hear this afternoon. We are overachievers, let me tell you. There's no doubt about it. And we're going to dive right in. I've got a few things I'd like to cover once we get a few more members here. What I'm asking you, all those involved, to do is to try and be ready to stand as soon as one bill is gone, bring the next one up. We're going to have 5 minutes or less apiece for these bills. We are not taking any official action on these bills today. A list will be compiled, and then a list of these bills plus other bonding bills that have come to this committee will be submitted to the Capital Investment Committee. So we're here to hear the issues, and we're happy to hear them. We're interested in all of these projects, but we're not taking official action, and we're just giving everyone a chance to speak. So with that, first on the list is House File 228, Representative Pepin's bill. Madam Leader, welcome to the testifiers table. And next up will be Smith, House File 1543. Please introduce yourself and go ahead with a presentation of your bill, Madam Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Representative Joyce Pepin, and I'm presenting, along with Mayor McNeil of the City of Dayton, House File 228. And it is on a project that I've been working on since I was first elected in 2004, and a project which was funded last year in the bonding bill. $34 million was in the bonding bill last year for this project. And what it is appropriation for the Brockton Avenue interchange on I-94, just east of the 101 Brockton Lane overpass in the city of Dayton. And then with that, I will turn it over to Mayor McNeil to...
Thank you. Please identify yourself for the record and go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. I'm Tim McNeil, the mayor of Dayton. I've been the mayor for the past 4 years, and I believe this is the fourth time I've come before this committee to talk about the Brockton interchange. As the majority leader mentioned, it was funded last year in our bonding bill. There have been a couple things that have changed in the last couple of years, in the last year. One is we did receive $7 million from the Met Council through their solicitation process. So that is an indication of the strength of the value of this. Also, 610 has connected to 94 in this general area, which has caused a higher than expected traffic flow. Brockton can be part of the solution for the traffic flow by adding additional lanes from 610's entrance all the way up to the Brockton interchange. So these are two things that are not mentioned in the literature, which hopefully you've been given, that have changed in the last year or so. I'll also mention that this is an interchange that, from a spacing standpoint, is missing in the current stretch of road. We are perfectly spaced between the last interchange and the next interchange. And this also has a jobs component. There is a industrial district right on the other side of where this interchange will be that will cut several minutes off of any commute from a job standpoint. So this will change a C-level distribution center to an A-level distribution center instantly. I know you have our crunch for time. I could go on all day, but I've got only 4 minutes, I'm told.
That's correct. You can't go on all day. Representative Pepin.
Chair Torkelson, thank you. I would just also like to add that this is a safety issue as well. This is the longest stretch of highway in the metro area that does not have an opportunity to exit. So if you were to just pass the Maple Grove Parkway, you wouldn't be able to exit again until you are all the way up to Rogers, which can be a significant safety issue when people, particularly when people are going up to their cabins for the weekend or when there's a traffic jam going that way. So it's not just a commerce thing. It's, this is really becoming quite a necessity and a safety issue. So I just want to add that as well.
Thank you for your final remarks. Thank you both for being here. We will be, as I said, taking no official action today. Next up, House File 1543, Representative Smith.
Another defined project.
Representative Smith, please introduce your bill for the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have with me two mayors, Mayor Mark Stephenson and also Mayor Kathy Hemkin, to talk about this very important project, Highway 610.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm Mark Stephenson. I'm the mayor of Maple Grove. It's my pleasure to be here again today before this committee talking about Highway 610 and its hopeful final completion. This last fall, we actually finally opened a part of the road to 94. There are two remaining segments that need to be completed. There is the interchange connections with I-94, and then there is the completion of Cassaw 610 into County Road 30. The County Road 30 610 Cassaw extension is one of the few remaining minor arterial connectors identified by the Met Council on their highway system plan that hasn't been built. The total cost of this 610 project is $45 million. It's $27 million in highway eligible costs and $18 million in GO costs. I think one of the really important things for the community to understand is with the opening of 610 this fall into 94, what we have seen is a tremendous backup on a daily basis on Highway 94 going north. The addition of the traffic flow into from Highway 610 into that freeway system has caused, I think, unexpected delays and backups that MnDOT would acknowledge or not anticipate. The volume traffic is so large that the traffic backup has continued to happen, and the completion of this project will help alleviate a significant portion of those problems. And with that, I'll turn it over to Mayor Hemkin.
Thank you. Please identify yourself for the record and go ahead.
I'm Kathy Hemkin. I'm the mayor of New Hope. I'm also the president of the North Metro Mayors Association, which is 15 cities in the north and 28 community partners. We've championed this project for decades, 34 years to be exact. We bring this regionally important completion project forward for your consideration as a capital investment to maintain and enhance the economic growth of the region and address the area's transportation needs. And thank you for your time and consideration, and we're under our 5 minutes.
Thank you very much. Any final remarks, Representative Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. 44 years this project has been in the works, and we appreciate your consideration very much.
That's darn near as long as Highway 14. Thank you. I will now officially call the meeting of the House Transportation Finance Committee to order. We have some minutes to approve. Representative Johnson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I would like to move the minutes for both March 22nd and March 23rd.
Thank you. You've heard the amendment. Members, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. The minutes are approved. I'm going to take my 4 minutes right now, even though I don't have a bill before the committee at the moment. But when we passed our omnibus bill out of committee last week, I did neglect an important part of my work, and that is to thank those that have worked so hard to get this bill to the floor. We have an extra page with us today. Annika Jansen is here to help out, and so she's getting thanked too, but she's also worked hard for the Environment Committee, and we thank her for her work. Our regular page, Sean Rabel, is here, has done ably paged this committee all session and done great work, and we thank him for his hard work, and he's going to work extra hard today. I should also thank Jenny Nash, the DFL researcher, for her work here, and we've continued a relationship from last year. I didn't say that right, but she worked on the we don't want to start any rumors, but she was active on the, of course, on the Capital Investment Committee last year, so I thank her for her hard work, too. Then our staff members, Andrew Lee, the fiscal analyst, is here with us, at least temporarily today. Andrew Lee, his depth of knowledge and his ability to manage a spreadsheet is exceptional, and I thank him for it. Matt Burris is not here. He's apparently drafting amendments somewhere in the building, but Matt, too, has done a great job. These guys have educated me as quickly as I can absorb it, which isn't always quickly enough. Sometimes we have to do a little repeat work. But thank you both for your hard work. Jonathan Fortner came to us a little bit after we got started this year. The other guy, whose name I will not mention, because he moved over to that other side of the street where they don't work nearly as hard as we work over here on the house side. So, Jonathan, thank you for your hard work. And, of course, Mike CLA.
job.
Chelsea Peter has done great work. Isn't it supposed to be so hard? Well, surprising myself today. Chelsea, thank you for all you've done for this committee, and today with 60 bills on the list is just amazing. Joe Marble, our committee administrator, has been a tremendous help to me as I've made my task to get a bill together, and he's kept us on track and on schedule, and we have met every deadline. And finally, my vice chair, John Petersburg, who you'll be seeing more of later today as I step out, has also been of great help to me as he returns to the job of vice chair of the Transportation Committee. Thank you all very much. I did the pages. I think I did them all. Frank, I think I thanked Frank when we finished up the bill, actually. I thanked the DFL members and the Republican members when we finished up the bill, and Frank's not here to thank again. But it's a great committee, folks. Thank you for your hard work. We will probably, this is probably not our last meeting, but I just wanted to make sure I got this done. So thank you all. I would like you to give a hand to the hardworking people. Thank you for that. Representative Drazkowski, we have House File 662. Please introduce your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House File 662 is a bonding proposal to provide $330,000 for six different quiet zone crossings in the cities of Goodview and Minnesota City. They will work to bring a quieter, safer community to our southeast Minnesota community. With us, Mr. Chair, is Mr. Dan Matega, who is the city administrator of the city of Goodview.
Go ahead and identify yourself for the record and go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good afternoon. I am pleased to be here to testify in front of you on House File 662. As Representative Drazkowski said, I am Dan Matega. I'm the city administrator for the city of Goodview in southeast Minnesota, but today I'm also representing our neighbor to the west, Minnesota City. To give you some perspective of the geography in our area, as you travel down from the Twin Cities along the beautiful Mississippi River, you will eventually go through Minnesota City, then Goodview, then Winona, and then finally the small town of Homer, all without any separation between any of them. As you can see by the map that you have in front of you, there are five public railroad crossings between Goodview and Minnesota City, four in Goodview, and one, the Minnesota Street crossing, is in Minnesota City. These crossings have been a point of discussion for a number of years concerning safety, noise, and a way of life. So back in 2014, my office decided to look into the concept of creating a quiet zone through both of our communities, similar to the zone that already exists through both Winona and Homer. In 2014, the city councils of both Goodview and Minnesota City agreed to work together to try to solve this issue. After meeting with representatives from the Federal Railroad Administration, Canadian Pacific Railroad, and MnDOT, the city of Goodview invested nearly $18,000 to hire an engineering firm, Short Elliott Hendrickson, to conduct a feasibility study of this matter. Up to that point, the city's used some very informal calculations based on limited knowledge to estimate what a potential quiet zone would cost, coming up with a project that exceeded $1 million. This was mainly due to what was thought to be a requirement of installing four quadrant gates at each crossing. That turned out to be false. Based on the SEH's quiet zone study conducted by Mr. Dave McKenzie, who developed a plan that would create a quiet zone encompassing all five crossings at a cost of approximately only $300,000. He was able to accomplish the task at hand by upgrading the safety at each crossing using the installation of both raised medians and rolled improvements, but no four quadrant gates. Since the original feasibility study is now about 3 years old, the city of Goodview has committed another $7,000 to upgrade that or update that study. Although that update has not been totally completed yet, the engineering's preliminary estimate of what was this project would now cost about a 20% more, or about $330,000, and that's page 2 of your handout. Unfortunately, this figure is more than either city can afford without significantly raising taxes. That is why we are asking our state legislators, Representative Drazkowski and Senator Goggin, for help. We feel that with the increased emphasis on safety that is at the forefront of most railroad conversations at the Capitol these days, our cities can get improved safety for all of our citizens with minimal dollars, basically an average of $66,000 a crossing, a far cry from what it would have been under the more expensive four-quadrant alternative. We believe this is a substantial return on investment to help protect the citizens of not only Goodview and Minnesota City, but of Winona and the surrounding area, as the creation of this new quiet zone would create one long quiet zone from the west end of Minnesota City all the way to the east end of Homer, a total length of approximately 12 miles. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Thank you. Any final remarks, Representative Gazkowski?
Really not much, Mr. Chair. Just thank you. This is a proposal that is well thought out, responsible, and will bring safety and quiet to the city of Goodview and Minnesota City. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Gazkowski. Next up, we have House File 2105, Representative Haley. Welcome to committee.
Thank you,
please,
Chair Corkelson,
introduce
committee.
The bill, Representative.
Thank you. This bill is for a rail crossing as well. It was in the 2014 bonding bill. It's a top priority on the governor's list, and it's paramount for safety. This rail crossing, I will have a testifier explain more, but it impacts the nuclear power plant, the lock and dam, the Prairie Island Indian community, and of Xcel Energy in the city of Red Wing. All of those partners have been working together for over a decade to try to get this done, so we'd really appreciate your support. You have a letter from the Prairie Island Indian community. They could not be here. They're out in Washington, D.C., but I just would like to read on record a statement from that letter. MnDOT has identified the Sturgeon Lake Road railroad crossing as one of the most hazardous in the state. Repeatedly throughout the day, the railway traffic blocks the only reliable road on and off the reservation, and the only access point to and from the Prairie Island nuclear generating plant that sits on the other side of the reservation. The potential for catastrophe is compounded by the increased load of Bakken oil traveling these tracks and the myriad of other dangerous conditions inherent to railroad crossings. That, again, is on behalf of the Prairie Island Indian community. I would like to turn over my testimony to Mayor Sean Dells from Red Wing to provide you some additional details.
Please identify yourself for the record and go ahead.
Hi, I am Sean Dowse, and Mayor of Red Wing. Thank you, Chairman Torkelson and committee members, for the opportunity to testify in support of the rail grade separation project at Sturgeon Lake Road. This $15.983 million request would address one of Minnesota Department of Transportation's priority rail grade separation projects. Upgrading the crossing is a top priority because of the high volume of motor vehicle and train traffic, and the unique geography creates significant safety risks. Sturgeon Lake Road is a busy four-lane road. About 12,600 commercial and passenger vehicles a day drive on Sturgeon Lake Road across railroad tracks. The railroad tracks also carry about 40 trains a day carrying crude oil, ethanol, and other hazardous substances. Sturgeon Lake Road is the only public access to tribal lands of the Prairie Island Indian community. Treasure Island Resort and Casino is located there, as is Xcel Energy's Prairie Island Nuclear Generating Plant, and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Lock and Dam No. 3. The rail crossing creates a barrier for emergency responders attempting to reach the area. Red Wing firefighters and paramedics responded to 169 emergency calls in 2016 to Prairie Island. About 94% of these calls were medical, where response time was critical. When trains come through this crossing, they can delay emergency responders who do not have an alternate route. This project is needed to alleviate the heavy traffic congestion and make it easier for emergency responders to reach these lands. Red Wing has received federal transportation funding administered through MnDOT to perform the engineering and environmental review for this project. This project is designed and construction ready. About $1.3 million of city and federal funding has been spent so far. Due to inflation and other factors, the estimated remaining cost to complete this project has increased to about $18 million. We would appreciate the committee's support to move forward on this critical project. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Any final remarks, Representative Haley?
As you've heard, this project is critically needed, and we'd appreciate your support.
Thank you very much. Next up is we're going to go to House File 412, Representative Mason's bill. Sorry to mess up the pages, but we were missing our representatives. So, Representative Mason, welcome to the testifiers' table. Please go ahead and introduce your bill.
Thank you so much for hearing my bill on 412, which has to do with the 35W Bridge, which is one of the major bridges in our area. And just so that you know, I'm going to turn it over to my testifier. But I do want to mention that 35 Solutions does support this bill.
Representative Mason, we're not taking official action, but I know you have an amendment. Would you like to explain the amendment?
I will have the testifier do that.
All right, very good. Identify yourself for the record, and please go ahead.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Steve Albrecht. I'm the Public Works Director for the City of Burnsville. They are currently passing out an amendment for you to explain the amendment. It consolidates the items into two items that we'll discuss briefly today. One is the floodproofing of the 35W Bridge associated with the reconstruction of the bridge, and the second is improvements to the Cliff Road access along that same stretch of roadway as part of the project. And so the language you're seeing right now clarifies what the legislation would be. I think you're all familiar. 35W obviously is a critical entrance into the southern metro, and 120,000 cars a day are using that roadway. The 35W bridge is 60 years old and is scheduled for reconstruction. Unfortunately, the funding that MnDOT has in place does not permit MnDOT to floodproof the bridge. You might ask what I mean by floodproofing. You may recall as recently as 2014, lanes on 35W were closed to put dikes in because as the Minnesota River rises, it endangers flooding of 35W. We think that it's critical as part of that bridge project to floodproof the roadway that is just to the south, because it doesn't do us much good to have a brand new bridge if our roadway attached to the bridge is not or is susceptible to flooding. And so that's very important. So there is $35 million called out to raise that profile. MnDOT has completed the preliminary design. They just do not have adequate funding at this time to complete that work with the bridge. The other key component is, I mentioned 120,000 cars a day. 20% of that traffic exits onto Cliff Road in Burnsville, which is a county roadway. And that traffic, it uses regional centers for both the quarry, landfills, and freight transport. And so it's critical that improvements be made at that location, as we have levels of service that are in the E and F range in that location. And so with that, we would ask for your support for the additional floodproofing funding and funding to correct the Cliff Road interchange access as part of the 35W Bridge project. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions?
No, there are no questions.
I have a question.
Any final remarks, Representative Mason?
Really would appreciate your support. This is a critical source of transportation in my district. Thank you.
Thank you very much for being representing your bill today. We're going to go to the Hanson Boulevard interchange. There are actually two bills up on this. Representative Uglem has House File 207, and Representative Hortman has House File 304. It's my understanding they're going to present together, so we will do that at this time. I assume you two have flipped a coin to see who goes first.
Joint effort.
Thank you. So did you both memorize the same speech?
We got it.
Simultaneously?
One, two. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hortman and I are pleased to present House File 207 here with the Coon Rapids Hanson Boulevard Rail Grade Crossing. I think many of you are familiar with this project. It was included in the bonding bill last year. I have the mayor here from Coon Rapids, Jerry Cook, and the fire chief from Coon Rapids, also John Piper. They've testified before, but they'd like to just refresh your memory briefly.
Thank you. Please identify yourself for the record and go ahead.
Thank you. I am Jerry Cook. I'm the mayor of Coon Rapids. Thank you, committee and chair, for hearing us out here. We have been down here. We've been down this road. The design is done for Hanson. We have very similar needs as to what you've heard from other places requesting crossings. We have an intersection that's the number one intersection of vehicles and trains in the state. With 12,500 cars a day and average about 81 trains that come together at this grade right in the middle of Coon Rapids. And we're ready to go on this. We've had open houses. We've redesigned the bridge, and it is ready to go. And I'm going to actually let Chief Piper go, because I know you have a very full schedule this afternoon.
Thank you. Please identify yourself for the record and go ahead.
Don Piper, Coon Rapids Fire Chief. Chair Torkelson, committee members, thanks for having me. I put a few notes together today, and I took into consideration, Chair Torkelson, that you've heard this two or three times already, so they're brief.
They're brief. Thank you.
Hanson is a main north-south road for public safety in Coon Rapids. In a life-threatening medical, as you heard earlier, seconds count. In a fire scenario, the size doubles about every minute, so it's critical that we get there as quickly as possible. A train going through at normal speeds will block the crossing for about 3 to 4 minutes. That's obviously a lot of time. However, when a train stages, it gets worse. Then all of a sudden, that time is 6 to 8 minutes, and that's huge, huge in the public safety world. I'm going to briefly describe the staging issue. Basically, in Coon Rapids, we have two rail lines. Coming from the west is the Staples subdivision. Coming from the north is the Hinckley subdivision. They come together. They converge in our city. Once they get to our city, they need to wait for clearance to get into the Northtown yard before proceeding there and then into Minneapolis. So basically what happens is a train coming in on the west Staples subdivision will slow down on its way into Coon Rapids, and when it crosses Crooked Lake Boulevard, it's slowing down, so when the last car goes by, it stops. Well, that's about 6 to 8 minutes at that end. Then when the train takes off again, it's the same thing at Hanson, which is the one we're talking about right now. It's about a 6 to 8 minute delay. That's the best case scenario in staging, but the worst case scenario is when the train doesn't fit in between, then they have to brake the train. They go past Hanson, they disconnect, sit there, that's about 25 minutes, and then when they get the clearance to go to Northtown Yard, they repeat the process to hook the train back up, and again, another 25 minutes. It's a big deal to us. So that's a significant issue in Coon Rapids is the train staging and our proximity to the Northtown Yard. What else do I have here? With that said, the separation, grade separation would have a very positive impact on safety issues and on public safety response times. If you want more information, because I understand you're not asking any questions today, right? So we gave you the handout, so there's more information. If you have any questions, contact me, and if anybody wants to go up and get the 100-foot view as Chair Torkelson did, please feel free to contact me. And with that, thank you, Chair, committee members, and Chelsea Peter for helping out.
Thank you, Chief, and thank you for the ride in your aerial lift truck. I appreciate it. Closing remarks, Representative Hartman.
Mr. Chair, I just would like to thank these dedicated public servants for all the time and effort that they have put into this project and the other dedicated public servants who are here for other projects, and I think we really owe it to them to succeed with a transportation funding bill and a bonding bill this year.
Thank you, Madam Minority Leader. I will appreciate your help with that project. Next up, Representative Kosnick, House File 1097. Welcome, Representative. Please identify yourself and introduce your bill.
I am John Kosnick, Representative from Lakeville. Quite proud of that fine city, and I'm here to introduce House File 1097, the Orange Line Bus Rapid Transit. And having lived in the area, I know very well that the park and ride, once we established the express line there, has the highest fare box recovery, and this is in addition to that. So with about 14,000 daily transit riders per day, over 200,000 auto vehicles traveling in this corridor. The roadway, the bonding was for roadway improvements, upgraded transit stations, and improved bus service to provide fast, frequent, and reliable all-day service along Interstate I-35W. As part of the metro system, the Orange Line will connect people across the region to job centers, including major corridor employers such as Best Buy, Health Partners, and Toro. And the Orange Line will improve access to about 100,000 jobs and 115,000 residents, including 56,000 jobs and 81,000 residents outside of downtown Minneapolis. And with me is Commissioner, Dakota County Commissioner Liz Workman.
Please identify yourself for the record and go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, Representatives. I am Liz Workman, Dakota County Commissioner, and I'm also chair of the I-35W Solutions Alliance. It's hard going second because the first speaker stole a lot of my thunder. But as you know, the Orange Line is BRT, and it goes from downtown Minneapolis into Burnsville. And phase one of it
stops in Burnsville. Phase two planning is would be to stop in Lakeville. It runs on existing roadways now. It will run. And the $12.1 million that is being requested will leverage a $150 million project. Currently, 41% of the people on 35W at rush hour are moving on a bus, which is equal to a full lane and a half of traffic. And at that, I'll stop.
Thank you. Any closing remarks for Representative Kosnick?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There is a phase two part of the project, too, that actually would extend into my district a little bit closer. So this project is will help commuters all along the corridor, probably as far south as even Faribault and down there to relieve congestion along the whole corridor. So thank you to the committee.
Thank you. Next up, we'll bring Representative Uglin back up for House File 206. Oh, I'm sorry. Should be 207. My numbers were confused. 206? 205. One of those. How about 206.5? Or pick a bill and introduce it, Representative Uglin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I'd like to introduce House File 206, which is the Trunk Highway 169 and 101st Avenue Interchange Project. I have with me two testifiers here which will flesh out the details. Thank you.
Thank you. Please identify yourself for the record and go ahead with your testimony.
Mr. Chair, my name is Dan Ruiz. I'm the Director of Public Works for City of Brooklyn Park. And thanks again for taking the time to hear us amongst 60 other of our best friends and great projects here. Brooklyn Park, you know, is a growing northwest metro city, over 80,000 people. And this interchange has three major components. The first is safety. It is running at a level along Highway 169, a level of service of E and F, up towards 109th Avenue North, where Brooklyn Park and Champlin border each other. And access is the second component. So along with safety goes access. And we need improved access to relieve some of the severe congestion at 109th and Highway 169 as Brooklyn Park continues to develop. It also will help relieve the increase in congestion at West Broadway and Highway 610. So again, that's why this Highway 169 101st Avenue interchange is extremely important. The third component, and the most, excuse me, we were setting our timer so we don't run over. The third and most important component is the jobs aspect, and I will let my counterpart talk about that in just a moment. But it is a $31 million project. The city and our Economic Development Authority and Target Corporation have invested nearly $1 million already in this project, and our request today is for $12.8 million as part of the bonding. With that, I will hand this over so that our Community Development Director, Kim Bergen, can talk about jobs, jobs, jobs.
Thank you. Please identify yourself for the record and go ahead.
Sure. I'm Kim Bergen, the Director of Community Development for Brooklyn Park. We are looking to add another 20,000 jobs to the northwest area of Brooklyn Park, both because we want to have more jobs available to the community and to the in the northwest area, and also because of our goals around tax-based sustainability. We provided a development map for you showing the 6,000 jobs that have come to Brooklyn Park over the last 5 years as a result of the great access along Highway 169 and also the newly connected Highway 610. There's a huge story to tell about economic development here. I'll share one example. We recently met with a company called Biomerics, who just opened a new location here in Brooklyn Park. They're shown at number 18 on this map, which is the North Park Business Park that's just under construction. There's three buildings under construction right now. Biomerics is an example of these new medical device manufacturing companies that like to co-locate their research and development with all of their office jobs and also their production facility. Really, really great story about economic development. They already are expanding into adjacent tenant bays because they're acquiring some additional businesses. And when we met with them, they had folks in from Salt Lake. They had made the decision to stay in Minnesota because of the great access on these that this new facility offered them, and also because of the support from the state. And so that is just one example, and there's many stories to tell along the corridor. So if you ever want to learn more about that, we're happy to do that. The other thing I want to add is that Target owns 330 acres of land here. You can see number 8 on the map is their existing north campus. 4,000 jobs currently located there, and they have big plans for this area for development. They're hoping to attract additional corporate campuses to locate here. So this interchange is really critical to completing the picture for access onto the highways. Target did ask me to send their sign of support for this project and also to acknowledge that they've been contributing towards the planning to date.
Thank you. Final remark, Representative Uglum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When we talk about 20,000 jobs in this corridor, we're not kidding. And since 610 just got completed, and thanks very much for that completion money the last couple of years, the area has absolutely exploded. And Target is the anchor. The Target campus, just so you know, is scheduled to be larger than the 3M campus at a future date. And we need this intersection to provide access for the employees in the future expansion there. But think about it, larger than 3M in the future. Thank you for your consideration. We certainly appreciate it.
Thank you, Representative and testifiers. Next up, House File 2034, Representative Peterson. Oh, I'm sorry. Revamp. Representative Zerwas, House File 2203. Welcome to committee, Representative Zerwas. Please introduce your bill.
Mr. Chair and members, thank you for hearing House File 2203 today. It's a bill to look at some initial planning for a interchange that MnDOT built three quarters of a little over two decades ago that we're trying to finish out. It's that kind of a busy intersection of Highway 10, Highway 169, and 101. And so if any of you have ever tried to get up north to a cabin or to the lakes and you got stuck and you got stopped or stuck in Elk River, this is why. So today I have with me the city engineer from the city of Elk River, Justin Femright, to go over the plan.
Please identify yourself for the record and go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, committee members. My name is Justin Femright. I'm the city engineer for Elk River. Pleased to be in front of you today to talk about, you know, what would be the next phase of initiating improvements to mobility, safety, and asset preservation on Trunk Highway 10, 169, and 101 as you enter Elk River. As the representative stated, if you've been stopped in Elk River as you've come off 101 and are trying to get up to your lakes on 169, you absolutely run into our three-quarter interchange that includes the first stoplight when you get into Elk River. There's been a lot of advanced planning to the corridors in the city of Elk River and really high-level planning that addresses long-term needs throughout the city, and this is really the first piece. And what has been included in the bill is really a request to fund the detailed study that would go into making improvements to this interchange. This interchange, I'll point out, and some of the other testifiers that you'll hear will point out, has been studied and has risen to a high level of priority in the new plan that has just been completed by the Met Council and Minnesota Department of Transportation and the Principal Arterial Intersection Conversion Study, where over 300 intersections were evaluated. Those in Elk River on these corridors are absolutely right near the top of that. So, again, it addresses and aims to address asset preservation, mobility, and safety all at the same time. With that,
Representative Zerwas, do you have final comments?
Yeah, Mr. Chair and members, just briefly, there's been a lot of work done on Highway 101 as you exit I-94 and Rogers heading north. This is the first stoplight you encounter as you head north at the peak of this interchange, where that third or that fourth missing piece of the four-leaf clover causes for an at-grade crossing. It's often an intersection that involves accidents, and it certainly is a cause for the beginning of backups in Elk River as folks try to head north. We're the land of 10,000 lakes, And unfortunately, it's one big stop sign in Elk River when you're on your way to get up there. So we're trying to clear that up. With that, Mr. Chair and members, thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Thank you for attending, presenting. Next, we have Representative West and House File 187. And then after that, we have Representative Pinto. If he's here, we'll be next. Just reminding, if anybody has papers to hand out, give us to it in advance so we can get them passed out. Representative West, please present your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House File 187 is a $3 million bonding request for Blaine to rebuild 105th Avenue, which is right in front of the National Sports Center in Blaine, which is the number one reason people come to Blaine, whether it's from another country or from anywhere in the States. And during the USA Cup, we have tens of thousands of people come to play soccer in Blaine, and right now they have to cross this road in order to get from the two parts of the National Sports Center, and it's incredibly dangerous with all those children, and the road is in complete and total disrepair. Normally, the city would just assess this because it is a city road. However, as I mentioned, the National Sports Center is state-owned property, so we can't assess the state without coming here and asking the state for money as we are here now. And Blaine has also never had a bonding request, so it's not like we're frequent flyers. And Blaine is also putting up half the cash. They're putting up $3 million before the state contributes any. And with me, I have the city manager and the mayor, Tom Ryan, for brief additional testimony.
Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself.
My name is Tom Ryan. I'm the mayor of Blaine, and we just talked about the facility was built in 1987, and so was the road. The road is completely out of repair. We can't fix it anymore. And last year, we had 1,120 soccer teams. This year, we have over 1,200. So the road won't take care of it anymore. It has become a road reproduction and a safety concern for us, for our people crossing that street. And we wanted to do it last year. This year, it's beyond patching. Thank you.
Please identify yourself and continue.
Clark Arneson, Blaine City Manager. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Just a couple other points that this is serving a state facility, and to my understanding is the busiest state facility with 4 million visitors per year. The other part that I want to make you fully aware of, this project shovel ready. We'll start the day after the bonding request hopefully is passed, and it will be a two-year construction project. We'll have to do it under traffic, but we're ready to go. Thank you.
Thank you. And Representative West, do you have a final comment?
Thank you. I know your agenda is insane.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, and thank you for your testimony, and thank you for attending. I think we'll bypass Representative Pinto until he gets here. We'll move on to Representative Eklund, House File 288, followed by Representative Frank. Ricky. Representative Eklund, would you like to introduce your bill?
I would, Mr. Chair. Thank you for the time and getting us scheduled. House File 288 is an appropriation from the State Airport Fund to the Commissioner of Transportation for Phase 2 of the expansion of the Cochin County Airport, International Falls, Minnesota. Just a couple quick points on it, and then I'll turn it over to my testifier. Mr. Chair and members, the $3 million is to complete Phase 2 of the terminal expansion project. They're currently in Phase 1, which is at about 70% complete. The request was included in last year's bonding bill. The $3 million request will be used to leverage $1.5 million in federal funding. Phase 1 of the bonding bill, Mr. Chair, was $2.2 million, and that helped leverage $5.7 million. Phase 2 is critical to continue as a port of entry with our Customs and Border Protection, and the International Falls Cochin County Airport is one of four international airports in the state. And what's kind of neat about what happens there is a lot of sports teams that are traveling, that say a hockey team that plays in Canada, they'll clear customs there because it's easier to do it there than it is in some of the bigger airports, so they can get in and out, and so it's a pretty neat operation. So with that, Mr. Chair, members, I'll have Bob Corris from SEH, the engineering firm in charge of this project, give you a few more details.
Welcome to the committee, and identify yourself and continue on.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Bob Corris. I'm here representing the City of International Falls and the Falls International Airport. Phase 2 is necessary to complete the terminal. It is an international port of entry, and Phase 2 will be for a Customs and Border Protection facility, also Transportation Security Administration offices, administrative offices, public conference room, mechanical electrical upgrades, and the National Weather Office. The total project will result in increased secure hold room with bathrooms and vending. Again, it is an international port of entry. And it is one of four, I do want to emphasize, it is one of four ports of entry in Minnesota. We have a great partnership with federal and state, and we're leveraging a lot of federal funds in this project. We feel like it is a worthy piece of infrastructure serving the state. We get a lot of famous people crossing the border that come into International Falls. There have been Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie have come through, and even Representative Eklund has been there. So thank you for your support.
Thank you. And Representative Eklund, do you have a final comment?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just ask community support on this. This is a critical piece of our economic development in Coochin County, International Falls. It services both our tourist industry, and the paper mill that I work at has a lot of engineers and staff people coming in and out of there on a daily basis. So I thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, and thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Next, we'll go back to Representative Pinto and House File 856, followed by Representative Frankie after that. Representative Pinto, we have House File 856 in front of us. Would you like to introduce your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members. My apologies for not being around a couple minutes ago. And pleased to be in front of the committee. So this is the Riverview Corridor, which is a connection between the Union Depot in St. Paul and the airport and the Mall of America neighborhoods in between. This has been the subject of extensive public engagement and a lot of work being done, and the request is for $2 million for pre-design and design activities, including environmental work and conceptual engineering for the corridor. The request is being made by the Ramsey County Regional Railroad Authority with support of others as well. I'm joined by Mike Rogers from Ramsey County, who I think is available for questions. I don't know if you had anything in particular you want to say, with the chair's permission.
You're welcome to the committee, and if you have some comments, go ahead. Please identify yourself first, and then move in.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. Mike Rogers from the Ramsey County Rail Authority, as Representative Pinto said. I would just like to say that we've been working on this corridor for a long time. We are getting close to the point in time, the end of this year, where we will decide what mode and what route to take for this corridor, and it's very important that we continue on and work with environmental and that design activities, which is what the request is for. We have done extensive public engagement. We've engaged more than 4,000 people through our activities so far, and we will continue that work. So, again, thank you for your consideration of this request.
Thank you for your testimony. And Representative Pinto, would you like to have a final word?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It sounds like we're just pursuing this as opposed to questions, but certainly happy to talk to members at any time about the project, and very much appreciate your consideration. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your testimony, and I do remind anybody from on the committee, if you have further questions of people, please identify and talk to them offline when we can. We are under a tight schedule. Thank
Understood.
You so much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, again. I appreciate your flexibility.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, we have Representative Frankie and House File 2385. Representative Frankie, we have House File 2385, and I see there is an amendment, too. Is that yours as well?
Yes, that's correct, Mr. Chair.
So if you'd like to introduce the bill and the amendment as informational only and move forward, that'd be great.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. House File 2385 is for a transit corridor demonstration project appropriation. It is actually a regular route bus service. It will provide a connection between three of the cities within my district to get people to and from work and to and from commerce. It's something we desperately need in our area. We are consistently just below the line on the scoring for Met Council all the time to get some assistance to move these projects forward. And my amendment just moves to the fact of inserting transitway into the, as instead of replacing an existing, it is a new bus route. And I would just like to add that seeing your large agenda today and your ambition in keeping with tradition, I did bring lunch for everybody.
Oh, good.
We always enjoy that. Jimmy John's going around, and I have a couple testifiers. We we're a little short of our handouts. Staff got caught in traffic, I'm guessing, from looking at the size of this agenda. So I will just then turn it over to my testifiers.
Thank you, and welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself and continue on with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Carla Bigham. I'm a Washington County Commissioner. I'm also chair of the Red Rock Corridor Commission. The Red Rock Corridor is a proposed 20-mile transitway connecting the south east suburbs to St. Paul and the regional transit system. This area continues to grow both residential, commercial, and industrial. For example, Cottage Grove is expected to add over 12,000 new residents by the year 2040. Through the Red Rock Corridor Commission implementation plan, our county and city partners have conducted a very thorough investigation of transit needs in the corridor, and we are looking at a phased-in approach and the near-term need for new local regular route bus service is there. The near-term strategy includes completing the small area plans for Cottage Grove and the St. Paul Park station areas and improving the local bus routes in the area. These are currently underway with the city's and county's comprehensive planning process. Route 363 is a proposed regular route bus service, as Commissioner Frankie said, and I should stop and thank him. Oh, we didn't switch spots, did we? Okay, so Representative Frankie, I'm sorry, Representative Frankie and Representative Juergens for introducing the bill. Old habits die hard, I guess, for me. But the regular route bus service is going to connect Cottage Grove to the Union Depot with additional stops in St. Paul Park in Newport. And the Lower Afton Road. There are also stops for the Cottage Grove Park and Ride, which currently has express bus service to St. Paul and to Minneapolis. There'll be one on Jamaica Avenue in Cottage Grove, 80th Street, St. Paul Park near the City Hall, Newport Transit Station, which was opened a couple years ago for regular route bus service, and then and then Lower Afton Park and Ride in the Union Depot. The other point I wanted to make about the businesses really do want additional options for their employees, but also for commerce. Renewal by Anderson, which is a large employer in the Southeast Metro, and also Warner Electric, another large employer, both are supportive of this. The request for the $5.6 million is a two-year demonstration route that will go for capital costs for vehicles, the buses, and also for improvements for the Americans with Disabilities Act. And then the remainder would go for operating costs. So I would do appreciate your consideration, and I know that you have a long agenda. So
thank you. Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself and continue.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Sandy Dingle, and I'm the mayor in St. Paul Park. I am also on the Red Rock Corridor Commission. And I just want to say that this all-day bus service would be a great help to economic development, both in the city of St. Paul Park, but also in Newport and Cottage Grove. I'm also an avid bus rider. I take the bus to and from work every day, and I switch routes between the 364 and the 361. And the number one complaint I hear from riders on the bus is that there's not all-day service. And then as I talk to people outside of the bus system, why don't you ride the bus? Why aren't you using public transit? Again, the number one reason is because there's not all-day bus service, and they want more opportunity to travel. I've also spoken with a member of staff from the refinery, the Northern Tier Refinery, and when they do their turnaround, they add a couple hundred jobs to that each year, and those members have trouble getting to and from the refinery. They fly in for this work, and they stay in local hotels, and they're not able to get any kind of public transit to get to the location, so this would aid in that as well. I thank you for your time again, and hope you can consider this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, and Representative Frankie, do you have final comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. Thanks for hearing us. We will get you those handouts so you can take a look, and if you have any questions, you know where to find me.
And by the way, thank you for the sandwiches. I appreciate that. That always helps move your bill, right?
Right.
Good job.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Is Mr. Windorf here by any chance?
Sure.
Okay, I think we're waiting for a few other representatives to show up, so I think we're going to move to Representative Sundin. House File 493 and 2428. I think you have two of them.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As my testifiers come up, I'd like to introduce them in order of appearance. This is local activist Mike Peterson, Carlton County Commissioner Gary Peterson, and local township officer and activist Dan Reed. If it's okay, I'd like to address House File 2428 first. It's the airport hangar, and we can run through that quickly and leave a little extra time for the other bill, if that's all right.
Please go right ahead.
Okay. This is County Commissioner Gary Peterson. I'll speak to House File 2428.
All right. Please identify yourself and welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee. My name is Gary Peterson. I'm chair of the Carlton County Board of Commissioners. I'm also on the Airport Commission. And this issue is really a public safety concern. For the last couple of years, LifeLink emergency helicopter has been operating out of Cloquet. And they have come to us and says, hey, we have plenty of business here in Cloquet, and we would like to have a hangar here for our helicopter so it could stay there full time, because every day they have to fly that helicopter back to Duluth. And you know, the issue coming out of Duluth, if you've been there, when you come up that hill, a lot of times it's foggy, it's, you know, bad weather conditions, and that helicopter cannot get out when it's being called for an emergency. And so this would really help in response time, and LifeLink has come to us and said they would really like to have a hangar here, but the cost is really high, and it'd be really hard for the, you know, Carlton County to, you know, to cover all these expenses. So that's why this bill was introduced, and I think it'd be very important for the region. I know Pine County, I see a representative from Pine County here, that helicopter goes there and throughout the area.
Representative Sandy, do you have final comments on 2428?
No, County Commissioner Peterson nailed it right on the head here. We also have House File 493. This has been heard before, and it's a problem that just keeps getting worse, and we have Mike Peterson to testify to this.
Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself and continue on.
Thank you, Chairman, committee members. I'm Mike Peterson, Assistant Fire Chief, Cromwell Wright Fire District. We're also an ambulance service, and I would like to have you refer to this handout. I'm going to go through a few of the slides with you, not all of them. The rest of them are for you to look at other times. I'm going to go to slide two. The location of this is 20 miles off of I-35 north on 73. And then 8 miles to Cromwell. So it's an 8 mile section that has never been rebuilt since 1933. So it's the original corduroy underneath it, and the rest of 73 has been rebuilt with shoulders. Our usage, you know, is with commerce, with tourism, and of course different activities that the road is used for. Again, there's never been any improvements on this road except for overlay and some fill here and there since 1933, so that's over 80 years ago. We've had many tries of rebuilding this road. It seems like the monies are there. It has been surveyed. People have been bought out of their homes, so the road could go in, because there's four major curves that need to be straightened out, and the monies would go other places because of that road. So here we're trying to get this finished. Again, many different times we've had representation from the state driving the road, looking at it. And you can see on page 8, there's the change of the road that we're looking at. The two stars on the bottom are the two homes that have been displaced because of it, and then the project was dropped. The pictures that you're going to review later on through this presentation, keep in mind that this was resurfaced in 2009. So that's, you know, 8 years ago it was resurfaced, and it looks tougher than other parts of the road that have been resurfaced 20 years ago. The last part I'd like you to move to is page 33. And on page 33, I went to our young old-timers, the seniors there, and I asked them, do they know people who were injured for life, let's say, or died on that road? And could you, you know, put their names on this map that I drew of 73? And it was one of the most touching things I've seen. It brought back a lot of memories with these people, and you can see that it it has affected their lives, this road. So that's why we're here. And there was much loss, and you can see the on the other slides here, there's the names on the road and where they were, where they died. So it's a safety issue. You know, we got four 90-degree corners. That isn't really the big problem. The people are getting killed at the intersections because they're blind, so there's multiple intersections on there that are on hills, and that's where people get T-boned and killed. We're trying to go with zero deaths on our highways is our goal, and this would really help if we could upgrade this roadbed. And the last few pictures are of just some of the repairs done in 2015. And I'm done. Thank you for your time. And
We are running a little bit short, but I think you have one more testifier.
Thank you. This is Dan Reed. He'd like to chime in, and I hope he gives us a history lesson on when the repairs were promised on this highway.
Okay.
Please identify yourself.
My name is Dan Reed. I'm the chair of Tumba Township. I'm on the local Township Officers Association. Very active in the area, organizing projects in our part of the county. The part of the road, they came from Kettle River North to this eight-mile section of road, and then World War II came. They said, when the war is over, we'll be back. We'll make it the rest of the way to Cromwell. Well, this is after the war. But in the meantime, as Mike said, it's a 1933 road with corduroy underneath it. The size of a township road, no shoulders, places if you go off the tar, you're upside down in the ditch. I had two classmates I went to school with killed on this road, and so because of the condition of the road, and so it's a very personal thing to me. Also, we have had the money allocated for this project. In the 70s, it ran into a into a problem with the funding. We had the money set aside in 2002. It was all set for construction, and then there was an overrun of a project in our DOT area, and our money was pulled from there, and they said, we'll get you in the next cycle. And that was several cycles ago, so here we are again. So it is a very deserving project. I see a lot of deserving projects here, but this one's 80 years overdue.
Thank you. Thank you so much for testimony. And Representative Sandin, if you have one, just
thank you, Mr. Chair. I thank testifiers. I hope it hits home with some of the people in the room here. And it really pays to bring down the testifiers. We've got a slogan up in Carleton County, you know, double your testifiers, double your fun. Do it with two Petersons instead of just one.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. I think we're going to go with Representative Detmer, 462, and then we'll go back to Representative Omar after that. So, Representative Detmer, House File 462. If you'd like, please introduce your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. 462 is a bill that the project was in the bill last year, and we are looking at, in terms of the bridge across Interstate 35 and 60, Highway 97, coming through, going east towards Anoka County. It's actually in Anoka County,
and I brought with me County Commissioner Rana Sivaraja. She'll kind of give us a better explanation of this project.
Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself and continue.
Thank you, Representative Detmer, and Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Rhonda Sivaraja, and I'm chair of the Anoka County Board of Commissioners. Here to talk to you today about the bridge that crosses over Trunk Highway 97 and Interstate 35 in the city of Columbus. It's slated to be replaced as part of a major pavement rehabilitation project on I-35W, I-35E, and I-35 in the cities of Lionel Lakes, Columbus, and Forest Lake. Originally, MnDOT had planned to just close the bridge, drop the bridge, and essentially leave that community kind of isolated and hostage without any access whatsoever. This was actually slightly modified to allow traffic to go one way during construction. This plan only addresses the bridge itself. It does not actually address the need for an interchange at that location. The bridge itself suffers from something called black bar, so it has swells of concrete that are falling off of it. So clearly a dangerous situation. The plan that MnDOT has does not address the existing traffic capacity or the safety concerns, let alone any of the future issues. Currently, morning traffic backs up for over a mile trying to access I-35. Evening traffic actually backs up onto the freeway as they're trying to get onto Trunk Highway 97. If MnDOT proceeds with their existing plan to address the bridge only and close the bridge during construction, it is an 18-mile detour, which is at least 20 minutes, which is clearly very significant for this area. It would have a devastating impact on all of the area businesses, as well as the school buses that are transporting children across the freeway in order to actually get to their schools. And frankly, when seconds and minutes matter the most, when first responders actually need to respond to an emergency call, they would be delayed getting help to those that truly need it. In addition, it would impact the park and ride and the express bus service that also leaves from that particular area. In order to construct a new interchange, we actually have to reroute and move away from the bridge some existing local roads. And so what we're asking for today is $15.2 million, which would include $6.2 million for the cost of the state's interchange, as well as $9 million in order to realign those local roads so that a full interchange could be built. MnDOT is very supportive of this plan, which we're appreciative of. However, they're not supportive enough to have the funds available. So they're supportive if you are willing to help us really do the right thing. I think if we do a project that is just a halfway project, I think the taxpayers certainly lose a lot of faith and confidence in our ability to use common sense in those areas. So, again, would appreciate your support.
Thank you so much. Representative Detmer, do you have a final word?
Final words. I use this interchange every day, and I know what it's like in the mornings. The traffic backed up all the way to Highway 61. It's in Anoka County, but most of the traffic comes from Washington County and from Chisago County, so it's a very important project, and it's going to be a four-lane interchange versus a two-lane, so it's really something that we need in this area, and it was part of last year's legislation. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your testimony. Appreciate that. Next, we'll go to Representative Omar, and I believe she has three bills, House File 223, 224, and 930. And we'll hear from the representative on which one she'd like to do first. Representative Omar, which one would you like to go first with, and please present that bill?
We will start with House File 223.
All right. Please present your bill.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. House File HF 223 funds a project for the Fifth Street Southeast Bridge. MnDOT has put forth some money for this bridge, and the project is moving forward. Given that the bridge is located in a historic Marcy Holmes area, and it's part of the 50th Street bikeway that connects between Dinkytown and Marcy, there might be additional costs, and so that's why we're here, and I'm going to have Cordelia, who is on the board of Marcy Holmes, sort of run us through why this is really important for us to pay attention to.
Chair, members of the committee, I'm honored to be here today. My name is Cordelia Pearson. I live at 512 7th Street Southeast in Minneapolis.
Welcome to the committee. Please continue.
Thank you. How many of you have been on the Stone Arch Bridge? How many of you have been to Dinkytown? This bridge connects, but for people walking, cycling, in wheelchairs, the Stone Arch Bridge to Dinkytown. This bridge follows a historic district where the people who founded Minneapolis first settled, created jobs, created the birthplace, the oldest neighborhood in Minneapolis. So when Representative Omar speaks of the historic significance, it's a significance that we all share. This bridge today is going to be replaced, but the challenge is that the funding that we have now from the existing bridge fund isn't sufficient to address the safety and hazard conditions at the site. This bridge is heavily used. It's a dangerous choke point. Two people on bikes or in wheelchairs can't pass each other on the bridge today. It's only 6 feet wide and 8 feet wide in places, whereas 14 feet is standard for safety today. Over 1,000 people a day use this for biking, 365,000 a year. Over 500 people a day walk across this bridge. It has steep slopes, it has no lighting, and it has a chain link cage design. So particularly for women who live on my side of the neighborhood and want to walk to Dinkytown at night, it feels unsafe. So right now, within a mile of this place, 50,000 people have jobs. 40,000 people live within a mile of this. There's an elementary school four blocks away, a preschool three blocks away, and it links two commercial districts, Dinkytown and the central Hennepin area. This path is also of state significance. I serve as the Mississippi River Parkway Commissioner for the metro region, from Elk River to Hastings. This is one section of the Mississippi River Trail. That bike trail goes from Lake Itasca to the Gulf of Mexico, right over 35W in this historic neighborhood. So, what this bill will do is provide $600,000 to match federal funding of about $2 million. Replace the bridge with a 14-foot wide bridge, which meets current safety standards, with a switchback ramp and 5% slope. Install lighting, iron railings for better aesthetic and design. Begin separating the sidewalk from the bike paths. And improve our first state bikeway, the Mississippi River Trail. So I seek your support today to eliminate these conflicts between people from the Stone Arch Bridge walking to Dinkytown. Make it visible and safe for all people at all times of day and night. And remember the historic and cultural significance of this area. This funding will be critical to make this bridge more than just connecting A to B, but making this honor the integrity of the history and culture of our state and our neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Representative Omar, did you have final comments on 223?
I know that we are having a lot of conversations about prioritizing roads and bridges, and so I hope you give significant consideration into funding this project.
Thank you so much. Which bill would you like to take on next? Thank you for your testimony.
We will do House File 930 next.
Go ahead and please present that bill.
As you might have noticed, Minneapolis is a city of bridges that helps connect people to jobs, education, attractions, and commerce. The 10th Avenue Bridge is a vital connector between downtown Minneapolis, the University of Minnesota, the Cedar Riverside neighborhood, and creates access for my constituents, the opportunities throughout the city. And now I'm going to have the Director of Public Works give us some remarks about why this project is important.
Well, welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself and continue.
Thank you so much, Representative Omar. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Robin Hutchison. I'm the Director of Public Works for the City of Minneapolis. I am pleased to be here today to testify on behalf of the 10th Avenue Bridge Project. I'm going to give you really just three quick pieces of information, one about this unique piece of infrastructure, a second piece about what the project entails, and then a third, a little bit about timing. First, the 10th Avenue Bridge is a very unique piece of infrastructure. It connects two of the largest job centers in the state of Minnesota. It carries about 10,000 cars a day. It is a critical link, as the representative noted, a critical link over the Mississippi River, and it's an integral part of the regional transportation network. It is historically significant. It's listed on the National Historic Register. It is also unique because despite it being such a regional function, it is a local bridge, and it is very rare to have a project of this size and scope be a local project. A couple of years ago, we undertook an alternatives analysis to determine the best possible construction method for the 10th Avenue Bridge. We looked at no action, we looked at rehabilitation, and we looked at full reconstruction. At the close of that study, we determined that because reconstruction was three times the cost of rehabilitation, that the best return on investment we could make is a rehabilitation project. So on to number two. What does that project include? Rehabilitation includes an entire replacement of the bridge deck that's on the surface. Below the surface of the deck, replacement and repair of the concrete floor beams and spandrel columns. Also, repair of the arches and the large piers. And finally, corrosion control measures would be added. So last on timing. If funding is secured, we would begin this project almost immediately in 2018, and the project would be completed by 2020. This would ensure that we have this vital connection complete and open and part of that network as quickly as possible. Without funding, eventually this bridge would need to be removed and fully replaced. I want to thank you for the opportunity to testify today. There are some information sheets that we will be leaving for you that provides some additional detail that may be helpful.
Thank you so much for your testimony. And Representative Omar, final words on 9:30.
Again, as we prioritize roads and bridges, I hope you consider this project.
All right, thank you. And thank you for your testimony. So now we'll on to House File 224.
Yeah.
Please present your bill.
Chair, this bridge is similar to the 5th Street Bridge that we presented earlier. 22nd Avenue Bridge is having similar problems. There is ADA and safety issues. But this bridge is one that a lot of members of our community have sort of rallied around finding resources for it. There is a great collaboration that's happening between MnDOT, Seward Redesign, and Augsburg College. And so I'm going to have my testifier tell us a little bit about how that effort is going and why we should consider this project.
Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and continue on.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Brian Miller. I am the director of Seward Redesign, which is a community development corporation serving the Seward neighborhood. We have been working with the West Bank community as well as the Seward community to try to improve this connection across Interstate 94. Interstate 94 came through several decades ago that split these two neighborhoods, which has interrupted both commerce between the two neighborhoods and access to jobs on either side of this corridor. We have passed out a aerial photograph that shows you the existing location of the bridge, which is not part of the street grid. The proposal is to try to rebuild this bridge in a location that will connect up with the street bridge or the street grid. This is not perhaps as historic a neighborhood as Marcy Homes, but is nonetheless very important to our community. It connects residents south of the freeway to job opportunities at Fairview, the University of Minnesota, and Augsburg College, and it allows people north of the freeway to access commerce along Franklin Avenue. Murphy Park on the north side of the freeway is the oldest park in the city of Minneapolis, and it is the green space that's available to a very high-density residential community between Franklin Avenue and Interstate 94. This bridge is very old. It is a narrow pedestrian bridge similar to the one in Marcy Homes. The approaches to the bridge are ramps that are nowhere near meeting handicap accessibility requirements. Because the bridge is not connected to the street grid. People are not visible when they cross. It is both a dangerous bridge, and quite frankly, when somebody my size walks across the bridge, it shakes. So I'm not sure how safe it is, but I try not to use it any more than I have to. We're hoping that this committee will support the bridge with some funding. We will continue to work with MnDOT, as well as both Hennepin County and Minneapolis Public Works, on the approaches to the design of the new bridge, as well as all of the businesses in the community. Thank you.
Thank you so much for testifying. Representative Omar, you have final word on House File 224.
For this particular project, project creates a model for how neighborhoods that have been divided by freeway construction can reestablish a physical connection over the highway to build community, to stimulate economic development, and to improve pathways for pedestrians and bicyclists. And so it is an important project for us to sort of reestablish our community and for all of us to see ourselves as one. And so I hope you give it a consideration when you're putting forth your project.
Thank you so much. Appreciate your testifying. Next, we'll go to my bill, House File 265. And I think I found it in the last sheet of the packet. But Mr. Wendorf, if you could come down to testify. I'm going to stay here just to save time. Basically, this bill is our favorite highway, Highway 14. Well, that's my favorite. Highway 14, which is the final segment in the middle of Highway 14, and we're going to hear from Clark Johnson about the other side of Highway 14 later. But this bill really does talk about the need to finish that section in between Mankato and Rochester, and especially as Rochester continues on with Destination Medical Center, really getting us a four-lane highway that is safer and is more economically beneficial to the region as well. And I will turn it over to my testifier. Welcome, and please identify yourself and continue on with your testimony.
Thank you. My name is Jim Wendorf, and I'm the vice president at Viracon, which is located in Owatonna. Viracon is a glass fabricator. We employ about 1,600 people in Owatonna. We've done notable projects, including the new office structure you have, and most recently the U.S. Bank Stadium. And we fabricate glass that goes all throughout the world, but certainly within the United States. And the Highway 14 is critical for us. We have dozens of trucks every day that ship our product throughout the United States. And the feedback we get from our truck drivers is the most dangerous stretch of road they hit is that 13 miles of two-lane in Highway 14 that goes between Owatonna and Dodge Center. It's critical to our business. We also employ, as I said, 1,600 people. We have a lot of people who commute every day on that road, and it's an extremely dangerous road. And I'm one of those commuters, and I can tell you it's a very, very dangerous road to be on. It's critical that for our business and other companies in Owatonna, and it's something that's long overdue. We've been talking about upgrading that to a four-lane highway for decades, and I would hope that it finds a very high priority for this committee.
Thank you so much for your testifier, and just in closing, I would just reiterate again, it's the sections, and we have them throughout the state, four-lane to two-lane to four-lane to two-lane, and that transition tends to be the more dangerous part of that section, as well as just the maintenance, and I think it's important for us to start thinking about how we close those particular two-lane gaps and continue on. Once we do some parts of the four-lane, it seems like the rest of it tends to lower in regards to its importance, and so we need to continue on, and we're just again asking for consideration for Highway 14. So thank you for your testimony, and thank you for your consideration. Next, we'll move on to, I believe, Representative Benton and Representative Ward have two bills that are pretty much the same, 2442 and 2453. So we'll kind of share the dais there. Maybe we can get some more chairs up there. Pages could do that.
One more.
Let's see. Thank you, Representatives. Who would like to go first?
I will.
Representative Ward, please introduce your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Committee. Thank you for the opportunity to provide an update on the Gateway Gold Line Bus Rapid Transit Project. Gateway Gold Line Bus Rapid Transit is an exciting stage. In December, the Gateway Corridor, both county boards and the impacted city councils voted to finalize the new route for the Gold Line BRT in Oakdale and Woodbury. The new 9-mile alignment provides positive opportunities for development and redevelopment that will create better access to jobs and help grow the economy in the East Metro.
Representative Fenton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. So House File 2453 is a busway bill related to the Gold Line Bus Rapid Transit. It uses buses and would largely, in a dedicated bus lane connecting Woodbury, Oakdale, Landfall, Maplewood, and the east side of St. Paul with Union Depot and the entire region. And as Representative Ward mentioned, the Gold Line Bus Rapid Transit has an updated route. It came with better news on the price tag in that the new route is $65 million less expensive than the previous route that ran through Lake Elmo. So importantly, about the new route, this new route also includes a bridge over I-94 that connects Oakdale and Woodbury that will be open to use by general auto traffic in addition to the dedicated bus rapid transit line. It's additionally, it's a multimodal bridge for bike, pedestrian, bus, and auto. And the new bridge will help relieve traffic congestion at Inwood and Radio Drive. And with that, I'd like to introduce two key local leaders who've led the development of the Gold Line Bus Rapid Transit, Washington County Commissioner Lisa White and Woodbury Mayor Mary Stevens. Thank you.
Before we get started, I just want to double check. 2442 and 2453, basically identical bills, correct?
That would be correct, Mr. Okay. Chair. House File 2453 clarifies that it is a busway transit, as well as a focus on the multimodal bridge.
Thank you. And to the testifiers, welcome to the committee, and please identify whoever is first and continue on.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, thank you, Representative Fenton and Representative Ward. And thank you, Mr. Chairman and members, for the opportunity to be here. My name is Lisa White. I serve as chair of the Washington County Board of Commissioners. I also serve as chair of the Gateway Corridor Commission. Mr. Chairman and members, if there's one thing you should remember from our comments today, it should be that Gold Line BRT is about creating and keeping and growing jobs in the East Metro, including at great employers like 3M, and where 3M would host one of the line's station stops. Gold Line BRT will connect healthcare services, financial and real estate services, shopping, dining, hotels, and more. We know that the jobs of tomorrow are different from the jobs of today. Commuters are demanding transportation options that are flexible and provide regular all-day service. People don't just commute to 9-to-5 jobs anymore. A survey of Washington County residents found that the number one issue in the county is more access to public transit. We need to make Gold Line BRT a reality to serve the needs of our growing East Metro region. We are seeking $3 million in planning funds this year in order to keep Gold Line BRT on target. Not receiving this money would mean increased costs due to project delays of approximately 3% or $15 million annually. This has been a locally driven and locally led project. The Gateway Corridor Commission was established 7 years ago by Washington and Ramsey counties and the cities along the corridor to examine the best way to bring additional transportation options to our rapidly growing and strategically important part of this region. I would now like to introduce another local leader who has been a key partner in this project, Woodbury Mayor Mary Giuliani Stevens.
Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members, Commissioner White, thank you. My name is Mary Giuliani Stevens. I'm the mayor of Woodbury, and I've had the privilege and opportunity to serve as mayor of Woodbury for the last 6 years. As you know, Woodbury is one of the fastest-growing cities in Minnesota over the last two decades. I think we sit at number 9 and might have even eked up to number 8 as the largest city in Minnesota. And if you've driven on the I-94 corridor, you know how congested it is in the East Metro, and it's not getting any better. Our residents and our businesses alike are demanding that we provide additional transportation options to ensure that the region can continue to grow and prosper. I myself have spent many hours with our local businesses and residents across Woodbury asking them what we need to stay relevant as a community and what they need to succeed at business, as businesses. And transportation and transit continue to be in their top priorities. The business leaders and residents do support the Gold BRT line. It really is the right way to add additional transportation options. It's flexible. It's cost-effective. It'll spur not only development, but it will be great for redevelopment and job growth in the East region. And we're excited, as Representative Fenton said, that the Gold Line is going to include construction of a new bridge over I-94 that will connect Oakdale to Woodbury. And right now, I don't know the exact numbers, but the congestion on Radio Drive off of Interstate 94, that is past capacity. This will relieve significantly the congestion off of Radio Drive and I-94 there. And then lastly, I'm pleased to say that the Gold Line BRT has received over the years bipartisan support. In the legislature, we have Republican and DFL authors, and I think I can honestly say we've received good comments and support back from both sides. And sometimes when it's hard to find agreement, it's nice to be able to testify on something that really does have widespread support. So thank you for allowing us to come in and testify today. We urge you to provide the funding and include this in the transportation package for this year. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. And Representative Ward, do you have a final comment on House File 2442?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. Yes, I would like to just encourage people to think about the value in the economy. We need to do this sooner rather than later. The bridge that Representative Fenton talked about has been in the long-range planning of the community, of the counties, for years. And the interchange 494, 694 is way over capacity, as well as the Radio Drive issue. And so we're reaching some very dangerous levels. And the bus rapid transit, the opportunity to do this, and the bridge would be really, really important.
Thank you. And Representative Fenton for House File 2453, final words.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members, and House File 2453. Thank you for your time today and urge your support.
Thank you so much. And next we'll move on to Representative Hertos, who has House File 471 and 472. Representative Hertos, which one would you like to take up first?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It does not matter. We can take them in order if you prefer. 471.
Okay. Please go ahead and introduce your bill.
Did you like to move the bill, sir?
These are informational only.
Okay,
so.
Thank you. What we have in House File 471 is an appropriation of $500,000 to do rail grade improvements for railway crossings in the city of Wayzata. In my district, we have both two major rail lines that parallel Trunk Highway 55 and also parallel Trunk Highway 12, US 12. And in the case of Wayzata, this is in the business area where some of the restaurant and dining venues are on the other side of the tracks. And also the city is planning a redevelopment of the lakeshore in downtown Wayzata, which the tracks or the rail line is between the current business district and the lakeshore. So that pretty much summarizes what House File 471 is about for the city of Wayzata.
Thank you. Do you have any testifiers for that bill?
I do not.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate that. And on to House File 472.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 472 deals with the CP rail line, which parallels State Trunk Highway 55. It runs through the communities of Loretto and Medina, which abut each other, and they work closely together. There are four rail crossings in Loretto and in Medina that the city roads and county roads cross. One is County Road 19, another one at Town Line Road in Loretto. County Road 116 in Medina and also Arrowwood Drive in Medina. The purpose of these are that they run with the unit trains moving oil through the community. Their frequency of the trains has increased dramatically, and they're not quiet zones. They're whistles, and they're going through the residential neighborhoods all hours of the night, and this money would help create these quiet zones.
Thank you. And any other final comments on the two bills? Otherwise, thank you so much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Next, we'll move to Representative Clark Johnson and House File 588. Representative Johnson, we have 588 in front of us. Please introduce your bill.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is the western leg of the Highway 14 expansion, supported by the Highway 14 Partnership. It's a matter of connecting important regional centers, New Ulm and Mankato, in this respect. I want you to know that New Ulm's a trucking town. And there's a lot of trucks that come in and out of that town. And about a quarter of the vehicles on this stretch of road are indeed trucks. New Ulm's had a vibrant economy. It's outperformed the state. That's a highlight of a letter that I want to direct you to, provided by Mr. Aaron Lambrecht, a businessman in New Ulm. Please take a close reading of that. But New Ulm has a vibrant economy, and I think we can really take advantage of that vibrancy by giving them a four-lane. I believe that New Ulm is one of the largest, if not the largest, city in Minnesota that does not have a four-lane road coming in and out of it. So let's provide this four-lane so we can see what New Ulm can really do. I'd like to introduce my sheriff, Dave Lang.
Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and continue.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. And
could you move the mic a little bit towards you, a little bit there? Thanks. Appreciate right. that.
I'm Nicoll County Sheriff Dave Lang, and I've been working in law enforcement for 32 years, the last 14 as sheriff of Nicoll County. The section of road that we're talking about does go through Nicoll County. I am here today to support the efforts of the Highway 14 Partnership to expand Highway 14 to four lanes between Nicoll and New Ulm. This stretch of road is mainly rural with both agricultural and freight traffic. In my years in law enforcement, I responded to dozens of personal injury and fatal accidents on this stretch of road. These accidents have affected many lives, families' lives, and the lives of law enforcement and first responders that respond to those calls. One of the jobs that every officer dreads in their career is having to deliver death messages to families, which I have done many of those. The efforts of the partnership to get the highway improved for safety to four lanes is very important to me and others in my profession. In November of 2016, we saw the completion of four lanes of the highway from North Mankato to Nicollet, and I urge you to fund the final stretch from Nicollet to New Ulm. The two-lane stretch has seen its share of accidents as well, and the amount of traffic using the road appears to be increasing every year. The Nicollet County crash statistics for the last 5 years, we have 18 fatalities and 33 serious injuries. Not all of those have been on the stretch of Highway 14 that we're referring to, but certainly a good share of them have been. With improving the two-lane road to four lanes, we can minimize the chances in the future of those numbers increasing. The motoring public is driving more distracted now than they have in the past, and hopefully increasing or making this road into four lanes would decrease those accidents on Highway 14 and other roads in the state of Minnesota. Thank you for hearing this bill.
Thank you. Representative Johnson, did you have another testifier?
No, Mr. Lambert couldn't make it.
All right, thank you. So then, Representative Johnson, you have the final word.
Yeah, just a reminder that this is really fundamentally a matter of safety, but it's also a matter of commerce. As we like to say in our neck of the woods, let's get her done and do it right. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for testifying. Thank you. Next, we're going to go to Representative Carlson and House File 836.
Get her done.
836.
Thank you.
Did I say 836?
Yeah, threw me off there for a second.
I'm sorry about that. It's 436. Welcome to the committee, Representative Carlson, and please introduce your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. If I can get someone to
please move House File 436.
We are just doing informational hearings at this time, so no need for moving. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm a little out of touch. It's been a couple days since my committee's last ended. So, again, this is for the Mall of America Transit Center, which is the busiest transit station in the entire state of Minnesota. It serves as a major transit point for both light rail as well as for bus rapid transit. Currently serves the blue line as well as the red line. And there's also plans in place for which it will serve an additional four bus rapid transit lines in the near future. The Mall of America Transit Station is located in the lower level of the Mall of America parking ramp. You probably never knew it was there because currently there is absolutely no signage or any type of identifying signage there to let you know that that indeed that exists. So currently the external security check also serves as a checkpoint for buses, delivery, contractors, and as well as employees, which causes major congestion problems, as you can probably imagine. The station has absolutely no signage, as I mentioned, and is currently located within the South Loop Development District, which is currently experiencing a lot of development, which is expected to see two-thirds of Bloomington's growth in the coming years. So all that being said, right now where we're at in this project is that we've secured $16 million of the $26 million for the project. The City of Bloomington, Metro Transit, TTIP, and a federal grant are already in place. And this is an opportunity for the state to be the last money in. We're looking for $9.75 million to get this project underway. With me today, I have Shane Rugland from the City of Bloomington. He's going to provide a little more testimony, and then we'll be happy to answer any questions.
Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the committee, and then go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Shane Rudlang. I represent the Bloomington Port Authority. Thank you for hearing our request on the Mall Transit Station. As Representative Carlson mentioned, the project is $26 million, and what we're asking for is $9.7 million from the state to supplement money from CTIB, Metro Transit, the Bloomington Port Authority, and, importantly, a federal CMAQ grant. That CMAQ grant expires in June of this year. We've already gotten one extension, and we are not eligible for any more extensions. So if we are not funded this year, the hole for this project gets $7 million larger. So we respectfully request that the state consider $9.75 million in bonding for the project. Just a couple more project details. Really, this is an efficiency and safety project. Buses currently have to wait in line along with all other mall contractors to enter the facility. So there can be backups that both delay buses and create safety issues, blocking intersections that occur on a regular basis out near the Mall of America during the week on a daily basis. The new design separates accesses for buses and other vehicles. It reorients the building itself. So this is not a prettying it up project, as some people think. It really is a efficiency and safety project, in addition to prettying it up, because if you've been down there, it's pretty dank. With that, I'll end my testimony and stand for any questions the committee might have. Thanks.
Thank you so much. And Representative Carlson, you have a final word.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. As Shane mentioned here, it truly is a safety and efficiency matter. Separating the employees and contractors and all the other vehicles that enter the mall at this checkpoint from the buses to allow them their own access, to allow them their own priority, will best serve Minnesota residents and our guests.
Thank you so much for your testimony. Appreciate that. Representative Rosenthal, we have you up next. House File 263. Welcome to the committee, and please introduce your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 263 is the 494-35W interchange. It is one of the busiest and most congested interchanges in the state, 17th worst in the nation. Any time of day, it's backed up for miles and miles and miles. In my case, it's backed up to Highway 100 pretty much every day of the week, which is a couple of miles. It's really choking innovation and business development, not just in my area, but through the state, because it regulates, it slows down the process, and people can't get their goods and their services to market. It's really, really important that we get this project done, and with that, I'll turn it over to people that are much more capable than I.
Welcome to the committee, and whoever's first, please identify yourself and continue on.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. My name is Maureen Scallon Thaler, and I am president of the Bloomington Chamber of Commerce. I am here today to represent not only the Bloomington Chamber, but Burnsville, Eden Prairie, Edina, Richfield, and the Minneapolis Chamber of Commerce in support of House File 263. Our organizations combined represent well over 3,500 businesses and over 400,000 employees that work at those businesses. This corridor is one of the highest ranked locations for traffic and safety deficiencies in the nation, and ranking 7 out of 26 as one of the worst metro area interchanges. And as Representative Rosenthal mentioned, it's the 17th worst commute in our nation. Now, as a president of the Chamber of Commerce, that is not something that we like to go out and promote. It makes it challenging when we have a congestion issue that we have in that particular area. And this is not a South Metro issue. It is really a state of Minnesota and a regional issue. The ability to move commerce throughout this area is really critical for all of us. 260,000 jobs, excuse me, are in and around this interchange. And if we really expect to grow businesses, jobs in our region, we really need to have that adequate infrastructure. Our regional partners, Greater MSP, who we work really hard on bringing business and development to our communities, state over and over, we will not be successful in growing our state, our region, unless we have a world-class transportation system, which includes this particular project. Excuse me. We are here to support this bill, and we're here today. We were here last year, and we will continue to be here at the table to continually support this project. And I also want to get one other plug in. The Bloomington Chamber of Commerce also strongly supports Representative Carlson's House File 436, the Mall of America Transit Station. That is so needed, and we're really at the jumping off point. If we don't get this bonding request in, we're going to lose the necessary funding, and it would really be a travesty for the state of Minnesota, the Mall of America being the third largest tourist destination in North America. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself and continue.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. I'm still Liz Workman from Dakota County Commission and chair of the I-35W Solutions Alliance. 35W-494 interchange is a top priority for the Alliance, and the members are fully support House File 263 and Representative Rosenthal's efforts to secure funding for the improvements to this interchange. It was designed in the 1950s and constructed in the early 1960s and has had very few modifications or improvements since that time. It's like never replacing the roof on your house. This interchange is congested well over 30% of each and every day, carrying around 300,000 vehicles daily through the now overcapacity interchange. And it's been previously discussed about being the worst, one of the worst bottlenecks in the nation, and within the top 10 for the state. And just to let you know, we do support House File 263.
Thank you so much. And Representative Rosenthal, you have final word.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. This project is really, really important, not only to the metro, but to the entire state. And I hope that we consider it along with the other transit needs that we're hearing today. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Next, we have Representative Fisher and House File 539, and which will be followed then by Representative Hornstein. Representative Fisher, welcome. We have House File 39. Please introduce the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee. I appreciate the opportunity. This is for funding for the Rush Pine Corridor, which is a in the northeast metropolitan area. This would be for a dedicated line for bus rapid transit from St. Paul up into the Forest Lake area. And I'd like to turn it over to my testifier for further details, if that's all right.
Thank you so much. Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself and continue.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. Mike Rogers with Ramsey County Regional Railroad Authority. And as Representative Fisher stated, this is a $2 million funding request for environmental work and conceptual engineering for the Rush Line Corridor. Rush Line Corridor has recently been determined as an initial LPA to be bus rapid transit and a dedicated guideway from the Union Depot in downtown St. Paul north to White Bear Lake, and then having connecting bus service potentially up to Forest Lake. So this is an important project for the Northeast Metro. That area is growing in population, forecast to grow by 24%, employment forecast to grow by 30%. So it's a mobility issue up there. It's about meeting increased demand for transit, and it's about economic development. So we look forward to the consideration of this bill, and we believe it's a very important request to keep going as we look to move this project into environmental work starting later this year in early 2018. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your testimony, and Representative Fisher, you have final word.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the opportunity to ask for the support of the committee to move this forward and for funding for it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Representative Hornstein, we have House File 1181.
She is also.
Welcome. Please introduce your bill.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. House File 1181 is a support for the Interstate 35W and Lake Street Access Project. We've been at this for a while. So the members and Mr. Chair can have a visual of this. It's the intersection of where 35W and Lake Street come together in Minneapolis. And this is a project that will benefit greatly the Orange Line Bus Rapid Transit Project, but also makes some highway improvements in the area. And this project was included last year in the bonding bill, so you can pass on to Chair Torkelson my appreciation for that. We hope it'll be included this year. It's a very needed project, particularly because it will significantly improve the mobility for folks along I-35W, both using transit and the highway. And so essential for the completion of the Orange Line and for some of the businesses in the community. So I am going to turn it over to Jim Grube. He is the engineer for chief engineer, main engineer, executive engineer, of top engineer of Hennepin County. And he'll go through some of the fine points of the project.
Maybe it's engineer of excellence or something. So welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself and continue on.
Mr. Chair and members, my name is Jim Grube, and I can't do any better than that, so I should probably adjourn now, shouldn't I? Thank you for your time this afternoon. This project's actually been in the works since 1998, and the plans are fully complete. We have a three-way partnership at this point with Minnesota Department of Transportation, Metro Transit, and the locals. That would be Hennepin County and Minneapolis. It's a $150 million project. It's split three ways, so each one of the parties is responsible for $50 million. And the request here in 1181, is for $25 million assistance to Hennepin County and the city of Minneapolis. This is one of three projects that is in the brochure, the sum total of which are approximately $300 million. The Minnesota Department of Transportation has the money available, and we can make all three of these projects work. The plans are done. Everything's in and ready to go. We're looking for the final piece of the puzzle, the financing. And when we're able to do that, we will reconstruct 35W from the Crosstown Commons area, about 43rd Street, all the way up into the 94 Commons, and South Minneapolis will have a 35W reconstructed through its entire length and will be out of there for generations. It will be a strong support for the Orange Line, which will provide that transit station at Lake Street. That will connect one of the top three surface transit areas, Lake Street, much like Snelling Avenue and others, one of the top three, will be able to connect people going east and west with those who want to go north and south, down to Burnsville, Lakeville, up to Minneapolis downtown, connecting all of them. We'll have buses going through every 40 seconds. So 90 buses an hour will be going through that station, picking up, dropping off people so that they can connect north, south, east, and west. We really appreciate your support and ask you for continued support of this vital project that is literally ready to go.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your testimony. And Representative Hornstein, you have the final word.
Sure. Well, thank you again, Mr. Chair, for hearing the bill. And I would just add that 35W South is the busiest transportation corridor in the state for both automobile and truck traffic, as well as for transit. So this project will, again, help out both the traffic flow for the automobile commuters and commercial vehicles, as well as an incredible transit project as well that will be widely used by many people both in the suburbs and the city. So with that, thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Thank you so much for your testimony.
You, again,
thank you. Next we have up is Representative Regina Barr, and she has two bills, House File 1000, 1002. And for the members of the committee, I just want to let you know we have now reached the halfway mark. So we are halfway through. So, and thank you for your indulgence. These are important bills that are important to everybody that they're testifying, and it's really nice to be able to hear them and continue on working on them. Representative Barr, which one would you like to start with, 1000 or 1002?
We'll start with 1002, but I'll actually introduce both of them, Mr. Chair, if it's okay with you, and then
turn
it over
to Mr. Chair. That's perfectly fine if you'd like to do that.
Okay.
Continue on and introduce those bills.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. We have two bills that we're introducing today, and I'm delighted to be introducing them on behalf of my district along with my Mayor George Torvill. The first one is a request for bonding in the amount of $1 million to offset improvements to the frontage road on Broderick Boulevard in Invergrove Heights. And the second one is a bonding request in the amount of $2 million towards the realignment of Argenta Trail in Invergrove Heights. And so with that, I'm going to turn it over to Mayor Torvill to give you the specifics on that.
Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself and continue on with your testimony.
Thank you, Representative Barr, and welcome to the committee. Thank you for this opportunity. Also, we're going to talk about two projects, and this isn't the halftime show. We passed that. We're moving right on, right?
Exactly.
Thank you. So, anyway, the first project is a project on a frontage road that is a city street. And it is a $2.8 million project, and we are looking for $1 million from the state. The uniqueness of this project is the almost three-fourths, a little bit more than that, is state frontage. So we've got State Highway 52 to the west, and on the east, if you take a look at the map, a little over a fourth is Inverhills Community College. And the difficulty, as you know, in 429 projects, we end up coming up way short on being able to assess, and the state doesn't pay the assessments. It was built along with the Highway 52 and 55 improvements that were done in 1995. And it's got, during the week, it's got about 6,500 trips per day, during the day it's got about 7,000 trips per day, and on the weekend it drops to about 6, mainly because of Inverhills Community College, and that road serves a major portion of the traffic in and out. Also, it connects two county roads, be it Concord Street on the east and 80th Street on the north. We are looking at a full reconstruct. Actually, we started to take a look at this project about 4 years ago when it started to fail. And what we have got is a tenting in the street that is quite disturbing to the citizens and residents in that area and the businesses in reference to, and every year it gets a little bit worse with the Minnesota taking a look at the thaw and unthaw that happens here. So we're looking at some help on that road. We also have one quick story that in 2015 we worked out with the MnDOT to in the median to serve as a location to put three large mounds of dirt. And we took a look at actually saving MnDOT about $2 to $3 million. And it is right to the, it's the first thing you see off of the frontage road in the, off of Highway 52. And some of you have probably gone by and have wondered what those mounds are. And it was from other state projects. And we're looking at maybe pay it forward, right, that we save the state some money. So we would, we're looking for some help on that piece. Also, we are looking at the right-of-way to be at the same distance. I mentioned Inver Hills. We do provide for overflow parking on Broderick Boulevard for the college, saving them from having to build another parking lot. The and again, as the state doesn't pay assessments, we are taking a look at some help on that. Any questions on the Broderick piece?
No, go right ahead. We're not taking questions today.
And the second project, we're looking at $2 million for Argenta Trail and the Yankee Doodle Road, State Highway 55. And coming from the south, going towards, as you get up towards Egan, it's the first stoplights you you come to. And Yankee Doodle on the south, Invergrove Heights on the north, and it's Argenta Trail. We, in the meantime, have had some development in the area, and we are looking at the temporary stoplights are there, and we don't want them to become permanent. They're on poles, and we are looking for some help from the state to start the planning process. And that is a $2 million request. We have the Vikings. Numerous office warehouses are being built as we speak in the city of Egan, and we've added roughly 100 new homes in the last 6 months, and the potential in the half-mile radius is about 300 homes in phase one in that area. Somebody might say that's poor planning because we should wait for the intersection to go before there's any development, and we've been told that there isn't the need without the development. So we are doing the development. We've got developers. We're taking a look at actually 600 to 700 homes will go into the next probably 3 years along that Argenta piece. As many of you travel, if you do travel that road in the morning and in the afternoon, you'll see the brown trucks. We appreciate UPS for what they do, but the difficulty is they have no other routes. They use that as one of their major routes, so they're coming, and it does create a quite a backup in the morning and in the afternoon. We look at the city of Egan, Dakota County, and Metro Council are on record of supporting this intersection to be done, but again, without the planning, you don't go to the next step. So that is the project. Also, we are getting developers that are coming want to know where the right-of-way is going to be for the intersection. That's why we're looking at the planning, because they're looking at taking a look at an intersection like this will spur other development, and that's the whole idea of the intersections in MnDOT is to spur development and tax base and that, but they want to know where the right-of-way is going to be before they take a look at coming with further plans. So that's the quick, and we look at the intersection as a also a safety piece. It's at grade. And it's temporary stoplights, so the time to start is now. And we'd hope for your ability to take a look if there's any questions on the projects and or the funding with Representative Barr or ourselves at the City of Invergrove Heights. Thanks for your service and appreciate the time and the opportunity.
Thank you so much for your testimony. And Representative Barr, you have a final word on both bills.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I will just add that this is an exciting opportunity for Invergrove Heights with all the opportunity for growth and development that we have coming down the pike. And also, I would be happy to take anyone who would like on a drive on Broderick Trail. I joke around that you do need to wear a helmet even in the car, and it's the number one road that I heard about when I was door knocking, so I would appreciate your support of these bills. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We appreciate your testimony.
Thank you.
Next, we will have Representative Runbeck and House File 914. But a little bit ago, I think somebody brought forth a...
He's coming right
now. Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. You're welcome to use the rails on the outside, if you like. Representative Runbeck, we have House File 914 in front of us. Would you like to introduce your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Happy to introduce House File 914 and move it. And we've been before the committee before.
We can bring him up another chair. Great. The project is a short line railroad, freight rail line up in Hugo, Minnesota. It's really kind of the basis, the corridor of economic development up there. White Bear Lake companies, Hugo companies are served by this. And it's asset preservation. It's obviously been it's a rail line that's been around for a while, but it's critical need of repair now. But I will turn over the presentation to Hugo City Administrator Brian Baer.
Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the committee and continue on.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Appreciate the opportunity. My name is Brian Baer. I'm the city administrator for the city of Hugo, and I'm here today on behalf of our Hugo City Council and the Economic Development Authority. We're looking for some help in preserving rail access to the city. We're at the end of the line of a short line railroad corridor that terminates in the city of Hugo. It ends inside of our Bald Eagle Industrial Park and provides critical access to the railroad to several businesses in the city of Hugo. We employ hundreds of people in those businesses, and those businesses support other businesses within the city and within the region. It's a very important issue for us, and the bottom line with this question is that the railroad is in need of repair. And what we've found out is that it's more economically feasible for the railroad to not repair it and allow the service to go away and allow the railroad to be abandoned than it would be to continue to serve and provide that service. So they'd rather terminate the service and not make that expenditure. So the impact is obvious to our businesses. It's a critical piece of infrastructure that they cannot operate without. In the short term, we'd expect a tremendous increase in trucking traffic within the city to accommodate the loss of rail service. That has its own impacts on city infrastructure, on the state highways, both in congestion and infrastructure maintenance. Long term, the businesses will likely go away. They will leave the city. They will need to find rail access someplace else. And in one instance in particular, we expect one of the businesses to relocate out of state. So this is a business retention question. It is an economic development question. There's other land in our industrial park that we are marketing for future businesses. And rail service is an important economic development piece of that puzzle. Finally, this is just a simple question of critical infrastructure needs that we'd like to provide. So we'd appreciate your support. And now I'd like to introduce Tom Snell of the White Bear Chamber.
Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself and continue.
Okay. Hi. Yes. Thank you, Chairman Torkelson, and thank you, committee members. My name, again, is Tom Snell. I'm the executive director of the White Bear Area Chamber of Commerce, a 400-member-plus business organization representing White Bear, Hugo, Venice Heights, and the city of Montemedi, which is areas considered the epicenter of the Twin Cities communities. So thank you very much. The rail project is our number one economic development project for our area and our Chamber of Commerce. We want to secure those 500 jobs from now and into the future that conceivably would be lost if we lose this rail service spike in our wonderful community. And if the rail continues, one of the large companies in the area has said that they will dramatically expand and employ more highly paid workers, but without the rail, they're going to leave. So this is very important for the jobs. It's important for the economic development in our community. We lose these jobs in Hugo. These people shop in White Bear. They shop in Montemedi. The schools would be impacted, our whole area. So for a very modest investment in our community and in our state and in our businesses, we urge you to please support this initiative. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your testimony. And Representative Renbeck, do you have a final word?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just noting that of all of the 52 bills we're looking at, this is probably the almost least or most economical that we are looking at. So
It's a very small investment.
Thank you. And I think we're up to close to 60 bills that we're hearing today. But thank you so much for your testimony. Thank you for coming up and talking with us today. Representative Wills, we have four bills, I believe, in front of us. House File 194, 216, 852, and 1953. And Representative Wills, we'll take them in whichever order you prefer. So please introduce your first bill.
I think we'll go with, let's see, House Files 852 and 1953 first.
Okay. Please go right ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And the bills are very, very similar. The only difference between the two is one is a bonding request and one is a general fund request. Just trying different avenues to see what works best for getting these projects funded. They are for a quiet zone, a railroad quiet zone improvements in the city of Rosemount, specifically on Bonaire Path. And I have the mayor of Rosemount here, Bill Drosky, to explain the project and what a quiet zone is.
Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself and continue on to your testimony.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and representatives. Thank you for this opportunity. First of all, the quiet zone simply is a way that the trains traverse through our community without blowing the horn. Each intersection has to be approved by federal rail and state agencies. You have double arms or a median in between so that no cars can go around them. But this particular request, first of all, I should explain, this is a main line from St. Paul down through connecting to southern Minnesota all the way to the Gulf of Mexico. In 2008, we as a city, we have nine crossings through our city, and we undertook a project working with Union Pacific, Canadian Pacific Railroad, Progressive Rail, and Federal Rail to put a quiet zone across five crossings. Two of them are overpasses, five were at grades. The cost to the city was just under $900,000. We did not come to the state. This particular one is the eighth crossing. Its cost is $2.2 million, and we're looking for assistance on approximately $1 million. Part of the reason it's so expensive is we have about 2,000 feet of road that we need to upgrade from a gravel to an urban road, plus the sight lines on this particular crossing are very difficult, whether it's with a car or any of the neighborhoods. So with that, any final comments?
Representative Wills, you have a final comment on these two bills then.
I just wanted to point out to members that we do have handouts for you that explain a little more detail about the quiet zone improvements and pictures of the area, as well as a beautiful color map so you can see within the context of Rosemount where it is. And the bills request $1 million for the project.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate your support.
Thank you so much, and we'll move on to your next two bills, which is House File 194 and House File 216.
All right, and House Files 194 and 216 are, again, two exactly the same bills except for the funding source. One's requesting general fund, one's requesting bonding for the Highway 52, County Road 42 interchange in Rosemount for $2 million. And it's a bill that I've had presented last year in transportation committees. So you, if members were on the committee last year, you would remember the project. And I have a handout for that one as well, explaining the construction and the portions of the funding where they're coming from. And Rosemount is on the hook for about $2.5 million, which is a huge portion of a smaller city budget, which is why we're coming to the state for the $2 million. The main issue with the interchange is we have poor visibility and higher than average crash rates, higher than the state average. So
I have a color version here. Unfortunately, I gave you guys the grayscale. But you can see on there the severity of the crashes with the northbound and the southbound ramps. And it's set for construction this summer. It will be shut down and widened to two lanes going each way. Right now we just have one lane going each way, and then rebuilding the bridge to improve the visibility and sight lines. So I have John Morris, our city engineer with Rosemount, here to explain the project further.
Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the committee and move the microphone a little bit towards you and continue on.
Thank you, Chairman Torkelson and members of the committee. My name is John Morris. I am the city engineer for the city of Rosemount. Going a little bit further on with the discussion of the project for 4252, as Representative Wills had mentioned, it is a project that is in dire need because of safety, because of sight distance, because of speeds. The county recognizes that. The city recognizes it. It's a $16 to a $19 million project in total. And the big thing, it's about a $2.4 million portion for the city of Rosemount. That is a little more than 2 years of our MSA total funds allocated to that project. We take that project and other projects that Dakota County is looking at within Rosemount that we're obligated to pay the 45% of. Over the next 3 years, their projects total about $5.1 million. Our $3.3 million of MSA funds leaves us a deficiency of about $1.8 million to do any other projects that we may have to do for internal to ourselves. With the roads that we would like to do in the city, even borrowing ahead as much as we can for the $4 million, we still don't have enough money to do all those roads, one that we need to do to serve our population. Again, 4252, very important road, but much more of a regional road. So we would like here asking for some assistance in that so we can continue to partner with the county, but also provide our residents with the roads that we need according to our program.
Thank you. Representative Wills, do you have final comments on your bills?
I just want to thank the committee for hearing these bills, and I'm hopeful that we can get them included in either a general fund transportation package or in our bonding bill. They're both very important to my district, and would appreciate your support.
Again, thank you so much for your testimony and for coming up.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Next, we have Representative Whalen, and I believe she has three bills. We have 1286, 1044, and 1435. Representative Whalen, we have two bills in front of you, and we'll be glad to take them in whichever order you wish.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. We'll start with House File 1286, which is the Highway 10 proposal. And I'll try and be brief. Highway 10 is a vital corridor, not just to Anoka and Ramsey, but to all those who travel up north to their cabins every weekend in the summer. And we're passing out, or you should be getting a handout that has some information on it that I would really encourage you to read through, just about how this is not just about this district, but really does affect all of Minnesota. It's unfortunately one of the poorest performing corridors in the state in terms of traffic congestion and accidents. And so the project proposal before you in the bill is the overall goal of Highway 10, transforming it from an outdated, unsafe expressway to a freeway, and seeks $171.2 million in bonds for each project. We understand it's a large ask, but we felt it was important to lay out the projects within the context of the whole corridor so you have an idea of the need. And we do recognize there are many needs in the state, so in general, I really just wanted to emphasize the safety concerns and the safety issues. In the past 10 years, there have been 13 fatalities along this corridor, making it one of the most unsafe highways in the state. And with that, I'm just going to hand it over to County Commissioner Matt Look to give a little bit more.
Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself and continue.
Good afternoon. My name is Matt Look, Anoka County Commissioner. I've been on the board now for 7 years, and it's my distinct privilege to represent this seven-mile stretch. I want to start off by saying thank you for the investment you've made in the Armstrong Corridor. That was one of these five intersections, so there are four remaining. And I just want to tell a story about this seven-mile stretch, which is really the backbone freeway that turns into an expressway. And at this expressway, we have five lights. at grade intersections. And it's really a gateway, and if you'll notice this handout here, you'll kind of see how all the roads kind of channel into this roadway, whether you're coming from Park Rapids, Detroit Lakes, Grand Rapids, Brainerd. They all come down through this corridor. And in this corridor, you have the Mississippi River on one side, and you have a very busy BNSF rail line on the other. And so, unfortunately, our people are really being put in harm's way. Never before have our communities, that is the city of Elk River, the city of Ramsey, the city of Anoka, the city of Coon Rapids, the city of Andover, spoken in unison. And just yesterday, I had a family member notifying me that while she was waiting for a train to pass, as the arms came up, there was an ambulance on the other side with the lights on. Now, this is something that happens all the time. Our people are constantly being obstructed, or the first responders are being obstructed from getting to where they need to get. And this is because on a daily basis we have sometimes as much as 90 trains going through. I want to talk a little bit about the inflation rate. Right now we estimate about a 5% inflation rate, or I refer to this as a burn rate. And we, just looking at $160 million, which it was just a short period ago, that's approximately $8 million a year that essentially evaporates. Now, I've been working on this project for the last 11 years. Simple math, we're looking at about $88 million that has gone up in cost. So time is definitely of the essence. And I just wanted to compare this to other roadways, some of the ones that are competing with Highway 10, not to diminish their importance, but in comparison, Highway 10 has 9 times more crashes per mile, has 6 times more fatalities per mile, and has 16 times more incapacitating injuries per mile. And interesting enough, MnDOT did a study on this, commissioned a study of 370 dangerous intersections. 34 were reduced to the worst intersections that needed addressing right away. And of that, this project has 3 of them, 10% of them. So it's a project we've been working on, as I said, for the last 11 years. Our business community has been facing a lot of uncertainty. They can't really make changes because they don't know what's going to get changed, who's going to get bought, and what their future is. But I wanted to just kind of ask you to consider the fact that while there's many projects before you, the public safety be one of your paramount decisions here in projects that come before you and the ones that are funded. So thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. And on House File 1286, Representative Whalen, you have a final word.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just to reiterate, we know that there are a lot of needs, and so for me and for my county commissioners, I think it's fair to say the safety issue is the most important, and we just think that at this time, when we're making decisions about projects, which I know it's difficult with all the many asks that come before you, would just want to make sure safety is number one in our minds. So with that, I will say thank you for considering House Bill 1286 and move to the other two bills, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And which one would you like to go to next? Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will address House File 1044, which is the Anoka Rail Grade Separation Project.
Go right ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so, again, I will be focusing on the safety aspects. This crossing is ranked as the worst rail crossing in the state. In addition, it's a two-lane road that carries about 18,000 vehicles per day, has poor sight distances with visual obstructions, and 4 teenagers were killed at this crossing not too long ago. Traffic is expected to increase in this corridor as residential construction continues north of Anoka. MnDOT has highlighted this as a priority in the sense that they've come to the district a couple times to have stakeholder meetings, and that there has been amazing response within the community to talk about this rail crossing and what we can do to improve it. And in December 2016, according to a MnDOT publication on this, when they were evaluating it based on safety, the reason I say it's the number one worst in the state, it's based on the Texas Priority Index, which scored it as the worst crossing in the state. So, as we're making decisions about funding rail projects, I just ask you to keep that in mind, and I'm happy to talk to members offline if they have further questions.
Yeah, thank you so much. Appreciate that. Should we move on to House File 1435?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Similarly, we have another rail crossing in Ramsey that is quite unsafe, and I am happy to answer questions on this. In efforts to be brief, I will say in 2014, MnDOT did a publication on priority rail grade separations, and of the 15 worst in the state, three are in my district. Anoka was one of them, the one I previously addressed. This is also on the list, and so we are seeking funding for making really needed safety upgrades. I may have a testifier here, but I'm not sure if they were able to make it. I'm just going to look around the room. All right. I'm not sure they're here. But with that, Mr. Chair, I will answer any questions and, again, talk to members offline.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your testimony. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members.
Where are we at next? We're just trying to gather. We are a little bit ahead of schedule, and so in the timing of some of the representatives coming down to present their bills, we're a little bit ahead of schedule.
He's a person who's not a real
person. We could have discussions.
So do you want to take a brief recess?
We could recess for the call.
Well, no, I just got up for what we should do. Well, let's take just a 10-minute recess. We've all been here a long time. Everybody stretch your legs. I'll be brought back here promptly at 23 minutes to. How's that? All right?
Thank you.
Sweet treat? Well, no, I don't. You only think I was. I don't have this gut up. I always help.
So anyway, congratulations.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Got my wife on this new ice cream. I have no idea. Well, I'm a big fan of peanut butter.
I was going through their list.
She doesn't like it. She can't make it.
Awesome. Yeah.
Anyway. We've all this ice cream
on there.
Peanut butter cup in the top of ice cream.
I'll go
like that. Okay. Girl, hey, look at the whole girl with top of the chunk. Oh, man. Yeah. Dangerous.
Good luck.
Well, then last night, she made some kind of a fudge pie. It had cream cheese, and the cream cheese wasn't fully. Exactly.
And if you
John's gonna go first. Burger is on his way down.
Come on.
Recess.
Oh, I walked in just in the gate. Then.
Sorry.
It's really pretty neat. Anyway, he was an intern.
We're actually pretty good.
Government efficiency.
That's an oxymoron.
Yeah, it
is. So, let's work.
So, I hope.
Was just in a meeting on it, but Steve came and he was one of the things he talked about.
Yeah, but you mean, could he make it
on it? Should it graduate?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 14 people. No one's gone over. People have been really. I remember my mom. 14 people. Some of them have double bills, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Yeah.
I have had to. That's been nice.
Brian,
people have. Yeah, we're doing good. Yep. We ran out of reps, so we had to recess real quick. So Johnson's going to go first, and then you'll be next.
Not a problem.
Awesome.
Did anyone get a lunch at all?
Representative Frankie brought us little sandwiches, so it's been nice. One of the 60. Yep, and then you'll be right after him. Thank you.
You mean Clark Johnson?
What was that? No, Brian Johnson. Clark Johnson already won, so Brian Johnson's next.
Yeah, I knew he did.
Yep. Now we're just seeing what other reps we
are we moving the summons over to Dean's committee, or are we just, what's the motion?
We're good right now, just informational only.
Informational? Okay.
Hopefully, at least we'll be on the right
now. Done.
This is kind of just a
Do you want to take over?
Okay. Then I'll make sure I say that.
Yeah, he brought these.
I did the
It was one bill, was it?
Yeah.
What bill is this?
Thank you.
2385. So would you like to start up after this? I've got a list here of Chippewa Grant.
Can we just hear about the Warhead?
It's in the bill.
Yeah. It was heard last year? Got it. Okay.
I've been there twice.
I'm just thinking.
I'd like to list here all of where we're at. Neuberger was next, but we got Brian Johnson first, then Neuberger, and then
it just kind of goes down the list.
All right.
We went up to the office after we left here.
Can we do bars?
Yep.
Bars? I didn't get a bar.
I didn't get bars either.
All right. Bars.
Bars.
Fisher?
Yes, we need a Fisher.
How about Runbeck and Whalen?
Yes, yes, yes. And Whalen.
And Whalen. That's where we finished up with this Whalen.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
We're doing Brian Johnson.
Brian Johnson, we're going back to Newberger.
We ever do Ross Peterson?
No, she pulled hers.
Mr. Chair, are you going to start with 1636 or 1277?
What would you prefer?
1636.
Ladies and gentlemen, recess is over. We have Brian, Representative Johnson, here with House File 1636. Representative Johnson, go ahead and introduce your bill.
Mr. Chair, members, it's a pleasure to be here today, but not for this reason on this bill. On a Tuesday evening on May 24, 2011, it was a very sad day in the city of Cambridge. Around 6 o'clock that evening, the fire pagers went off, notifying the members of their training session that night. That training was high-level rescue, which I myself also had. It's a very intense course and it's done very safely. Chip Imker was participating in that training. He was 35 years old at the time. Besides being a firefighter, he was the wrestling coach. He was a private business owner. And he was a member of the National Guard. During that training, because of his experience, he wanted to do a little extra training because he wanted to be the best. He was on the fire department for a year and a half, and he did what most firefighters cannot do. Not only finished first responder, firefighter one, and firefighter two, and be part of the special response team. That's, for those of you who are in, understand fire departments and the responsibilities, that's unheard of to be able to get that done in that short period of time. But that's the type of person Chip was. He wanted to be the best. So at the end of the training, he decided to do one more practice run, doing a high-level rescue. And we still don't know for sure what happened, but he fell from 6 to 8 feet, landed on his head, and the injuries took his life. Chip left behind his spouse, Kristen, and his two sons, Hayden and Connor. And those were the most important things in his life. He did a lot of things with his boys. At the time, they were very young. They're now 6 years older. I believe one is 14 and one is 12. And they really understand what their dad was and who he was. And at the age level, now I talked to Christy, and the boys are just ecstatic about the possibility of having a memorial highway in their dad's honor. I've also talked to the City of Cambridge and the Cambridge Fire Department and explained that there is some local cost
And it, as City Administrator Linda Wolf can say, don't worry about it, we'll take care of it. So what we're here today for is to make a memorial highway for Chip Imker, who was a very dear member of the community, along Highway 65 from approximately 305th Avenue to the North Stanfield Town, Cambridge-Stanfield Township line, which is the area of the fire district along Highway 65.
Thank you. Are you testifying to this bill?
Good afternoon, Committee Chair and dear committee. I'm Linda Wolf, City Administrator for the City of Cambridge, and we are deeply moved by the committee's consideration of naming part of 65 the Chip Imker Memorial Highway. Chip was one of a kind, and I drive that route every day, so I'll be able to look at that sign and have a smile and be very appreciative of his remembrance.
Thank you. Any closing remarks for Tim Johnson?
Mr. Chair, it's, the community would be honored to be able to do this.
Thank you for your presentation of House File 1636. We'll move on to your other bill, House File 1277.
Mr. Chair, members, House File 1277 was in the bonding bill last year. We know the unfortunate circumstances that, occurred in that. Highway 95 in Cambridge has been a problem for a long time for the City of Cambridge. In fact, in 2002, it was slated to have the storm sewer line replaced. That's the storm sewer line is owned by the state of Minnesota, and it's too small. It's now been delayed till 2023. And on the screen here behind you, we're going to continue presenting, but I'm going to start a short video what happens in the City of Cambridge when they get the half-inch rain downpour or more. This was video was taken about 20 minutes after the rain was done. And if you look when the vehicle turns the corner, you'll see our movie theater, and the water is above the bottom of the door to the movie theater. And this happens every time we have a rainstorm. And while this video is playing, I'm going to let City Administrator Linda Wolf discuss some of the issues that we have here.
Certainly.
Please identify yourself for the record and go ahead.
Yep. Again, my name is Linda Wolf. I'm the City Administrator for the City of Cambridge. And as you can see from the video, the storm sewer under Highway 95 is severely undersized and caused repeated flooding in our downtown area and creates damage for the businesses abutting the street. Not only for the businesses, but our fire departments, this is their main exit route from City Hall, which just is which abuts Main Street. So every time we get a half-inch rain and our street floods, our movie theater gets deluge of water just coming into their business. Thankfully, they have invested heavily in a shop vac and haven't sought losses from the city very frequently. We're asking for Highway 95 to be widened to four lanes from Emerson Street to the bridge. From Emerson Street to County Road 2, that was recently widened to four lanes, and it has a greatly improved traffic operations and safety. We have about a mile and a half that is currently a two-lane road with a center left turn lane through much of the city, which includes our downtown area, our school access area, industrial park access, and railroad and river crossings. This two-lane section carries between 12,000 and 15,000 vehicles per day and is at its maximum capacity. We also have 20 trains per day, which further reduces our capacity, and congestion. This corridor is very congested. Our community has called for Highway 95 solutions for over 10 years. In 2007, the city paid for a Highway 95 corridor study, and we worked with MnDOT and our business owners, our residents, East Central Regional Development Commission, and other players for a transportation solution. The transportation solution that was recommended and approved by MnDOT was to widen Highway 95 to four lanes. Our approximate cost at this time is $18 to $20 million. MnDOT has participated in our process, and it is my understanding that the Commissioner of MnDOT is issuing a letter of support for this project. If you have any other questions, we would be happy to answer them.
Thank you. Any closing remarks, Representative Johnson?
Mr. Chair, the reason we, the using the bill for GO bonds instead of transportation bonds because we have to deal with the railroad. Railroad switch has to be moved and realigned, and transportation bonds do not qualify for the railroad issue. That's why we're looking at the transportation bond, or not transportation bonds on this issue. This is an important issue. Highway 10, Highway 694 is not the bypass for the metro area anymore for truck traffic. Highway 95 to 35 is. I have no clue how many trucks come through Cambridge every day. Highway 95 has a huge volume of truck traffic now, and that's part of the problem that we have in the city of Cambridge.
Thank you, Representative Johnson, for presenting your bills.
Thank you.
Next, we'll have Representative Newberg with House File 165.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I do have an amendment for this. I don't know if this is where you want to move that or...
We are taking no official action on bills today. If you want to explain your amendment to clarify your bill, please feel free to do so.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 165 was part of the previous bonding bill. It's called the WATAB Safety Project. I had initially ordered an 11 by 17 handout, and, well, this is better. So, members, what the WATAB Safety Project originally was in the original bill was an overpass right here on County Road 4. It's a very, very heavily used section of Minnesota Highway 10 just north of St. Cloud. It is definitely a safety concern, one of which I have personal history at as my work in EMS. It is also a project that was requested in the 1990s. MnDOT had been working on that with the community, and it never came to fruition. This is my third time now in the legislature bringing this project forward. In discussion with local officials about this project, the current fiscal note would be about $14 million. Discussing this situation with my local township and city officials, what my goal would be to put overpasses along all of those six intersections. What I've come to understand, members, is that financially that's probably very tough to do. So what my amendment will do is it changes. It's not going to build an overpass down on County Road 4. Instead, it would fund six what are called reduced conflict intersections, which would reduce the flow of traffic to these high-risk neighborhoods. Most of those neighborhoods that you see there where the arrows are, these are people that in order to get onto Highway 10, the only access in and out of their neighborhoods is a small intersection from their neighborhoods. There's no real good access. So when you get out of your house, you pull up to Highway 10, you look left, you look right, you say three prayers, and you stomp on the gas. And members, during rush hour, it's very dangerous. This is a definite community need. So what my amendment would do, members, is it would cancel out the $14 million funding for one overpass on County Road 4, and it would include funding for reduced conflict intersections at those six places. This amendment would do more with much less. One overpass, $14 million. Six reduced conflicts intersections, $5 million. So I can fix. I can work on six intersections for $9 million less. So I'm doing a whole lot more for a whole lot less, and that's what my amendment would do. I've had discussions with the county. They're going to be sending a letter of support. I should have that today, as well as MnDOT, the local district. The Benton County Sheriff is also in support of anything we do that would increase the safety along this stretch. Members, that's it in a nutshell. We do have, the reason why we have the traffic problem is you see 110th Street right there. If you take 110th Street and go north of that, that's all what we call the Rice Bypass. There's no stop there. The traffic just flows. Just south, down by Lucas, and thank you, by the way, Lucas, down by his knees would be where St. Cloud is. Now, in the past, we had natural breaks in the flow of traffic because there was a light in Rice. So if any one of those intersections, if you waited long enough, there'd be a natural break because the light would turn red and you could get in and out. But once they put that overpass in, there are no more natural breaks. And this is a huge arterial for people going from the metro to northern Minnesota, especially on holidays. We have a lot of potential problems there with traffic accidents and safety, and these reduced conflict intersections, in my opinion, would go a long way towards making it a lot safer. So instead of doing one project for 14, I can do six for five. That's my amendment, and I would appreciate your support. Thank you.
Well, thank you for presenting House File 165, Representative. Next up, Representative Sandsteed with House File 2514. Well, welcome to committee, Representative Sandsteed. You've come so well prepared. I just am truly amazed.
I see you have the snacks. Very good.
Of course.
Start with the chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members. Today I am here to present House File 2514. There is one change that I would like to offer an oral amendment, if I may. No. And the amendment is simply changing the city name from Calumet to Marble. The city that we're talking, or the fire hall that I'll be talking about in just a moment, is actually located within the confines of the city of Marble, not Calumet.
Thank you, Representative. We are not taking official action today, so
okay.
Your bill will actually not be amended, but if you get a chance for a hearing in capital investment, you should actually renew your amendment at that point.
Thank you very much.
Go ahead.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. This bill is requesting money be appropriated to build a bypass lane and a turn lane for a fire hall that was constructed a few years ago. The two cities that I mentioned, Calumet and Marble, had combined forces, have a new fire hall. The fire hall is located off of Highway 169, which is the main ribbon, main highway between the Central Range and West Range. In Minnesota, it is a two-lane highway. It is extremely well-traveled, heavily traveled, and in order to, the fire hall is currently located on the south side of the highway. To get into that highway, or to get into the fire hall, there is no turn lane, so getting in is one thing. If you're on the south side, if you're entering the fire hall from the north side, you have to actually cross a lane of traffic that is extremely busy. And the problem that we're having is a safety issue for the responders that are actually trying to get to the fire hall when a call comes. These are volunteers that are responding to somebody else's emergency, and they're actually placing themselves at great risk trying to get across the highway to the fire hall to respond to these events. So with that, I have the chief of the fire hall, Vlad.
Thank you. Please introduce yourself for the record and go ahead with your testimony.
Yeah, I'm Fire Chief Vlad Pinky with Greenlight Fire. As Representative Stanseed said, coming from the east going west, coming out of Calumet towards the fire hall, it's a blind kind of a turning intersection. So when cars come up over that hill, they do not see our brake lights. Since the first of the year, we've had 19 near misses, which thank God there was no collisions or anything. So that made us worry, and our safety officer had asked her for some help. We approached the Minnesota Department of Transportation, and they said there was no funding there at the time to put this turn lane or passing lane or anything in there. And we feel that with us responding, we don't want to be a hindrance and create more of a problem for people. We're there to help. So it's a major safety incident or an issue for us, I guess. So we'd really appreciate some help on getting a turn lane or a bypass lane put in.
Thank you very much. Any closing remarks, Representative Sandsteed?
I just appreciate your consideration. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much for being with us today, and thank you for the treats.
You're welcome.
Next, we have Representative Cagle with House File 1506.
Good
Welcome to committee. Please introduce House File 1506.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House File 1506 is a rail grade separation at Foley Boulevard, and I will turn it over to my testifier, Doug Fisher, to talk about the program.
Please identify yourself for the record and go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Doug Fisher. I'm the Transportation Division Manager and County Engineer for Anoka County, and I am here today to offer Anoka County support for House File 1506. You should have received a schematic drawing of the project that we're talking about. Since a picture is worth a thousand words, I think I'll be very brief in my remarks. This project is a reconstruction of Foley Boulevard, which is our County State Highway 11. It's a four-lane minor arterial expander route in our county with ADT of 7,000 vehicles. The key component of this project, obviously, is the railroad grade separation that's included with this project. This is over the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad tracks that have carried over 90 trains per day at up to 75 miles per hour. Because of the traffic volumes on the highway and the number of trains on the track, this has a daily exposure rating of over 500,000 exposures, which is 40% higher than the minimum standards for a rail grade separation. And this area is expected to triple that exposure rating by 2030. And also, this bridge will accommodate a third main that the Burlington Northern is planning on adding to the double track that's already there. This project is truly multimodal. As you can see in the drawing, it does support Metro Transit's 3,200 space fully park and ride lot that is currently there along Trunk Highway 610. This project will also give access and mobility to non-motorized users. It will include an 8-foot trail on the north side of the highway and a 5-foot sidewalk on the south side. The overall cost of this project is approximately $21.7 million with a construction cost of $17.9 million. Our request for state funds for this project is only $10,849,000. The balance of the funds will come from federal, regional, and local funds. And thank you for your time for hearing our bill.
Thank you. Any closing remarks on House File 1506?
Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Representative Cagle, you also have House File 590.
Yes, House File 590. This is a bonding bill to, in order to do an environmental analysis, design, engineering, negotiate with BNSF, and acquire property and begin construction at that same site on Foley Boulevard in Coon Rapids. Currently, there is the park and ride there, and it also has bus services. And it happens to be where two major rail lines meet. So it would be a logical spot for a rail station for the North Star commuter rail and the proposed Northern Lights Express between the Twin Cities and Duluth. So the space is there, the rail lines are there, the park and ride is there, and the bus service is there. So just one thing missing.
Thank you, Representative Cagle. I don't see that you have any testifiers to this bill, but thank you for bringing it to our committee.
Thank you very much.
Next, we have Representative Hoppe with House File 1761. Welcome to committee, Representative Hoppe. Please introduce your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I will be very brief while we're getting set up and then turn it over to the Mayor of Chanhassen. This is our chance to upgrade what really started out as a wagon trail, and before that, I think, was a path for Native Americans to get from the top of the hill down to the bottom. We can't use it a lot of the times in the winter because it's slippery and curvy. And this is a chance to link up the new bridge between Scott and Dakota counties and make this a much more useful inter-county artery. And with that, Mr. Chair, I will turn it over to the Mayor of Chanhassen.
Thank you. Please introduce yourself for the record and go ahead with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. I'm Denny Loffenberger, the Mayor of Chanhassen, Minnesota. And I want to thank you for this opportunity to outline the need for the reconstruction of State Trunk Highway 101 between Pioneer Trail and Flying Cloud Drive. This turnback improvement project is a multi-agency project that has support from MnDOT, from Carver County, and the Chanhassen City Council. Together, these agencies have completed an environmental assessment worksheet and EAW and have received preliminary design approval from the City of Chanhassen. Now, this 1 mile of roadway, originally constructed 70 years ago, currently has many major concerns, including very steep grades of over 13% slopes, which cause the road to be closed after every 2-inch snowfall event in the winter. There are many sharp curves, blind intersections, and poor shoulders, and the crash and severity ratings are both more than twice the average for a 2-lane highway. The proposal is to reconstruct Highway 101 to a 4-lane divided urban highway. This design will eliminate all of the safety concerns that exist today. There are also regional and local benefits, and they include an increased capacity for both population and employment growth on both sides of the Minnesota River, both now and into the future. It will reduce traffic pressure off of Highway 169 and other Minnesota River crossings. It will provide recreational use of 2 miles of multi-use trails along the corridor, and it will also include the construction of a multi-use trail bridge over Three Rivers Park Regional Trail over the new Highway 101. There's also environmental benefits. Currently, the Highway 101 corridor area is causing major erosion problems. The new roadway will have a stormwater system to address the erosion problems and pre-treat the runoff into stormwater ponds that will protect the Minnesota River, the wildlife management area, and the bluff area surrounding the Highway 101 corridor. And finally, the state of Minnesota will also benefit with the jurisdictional transfer from MnDOT to Carver County for future operations and maintenance. It's also special to note that the original proposed cost of over $25 million through multi-agency cooperation, the financing needs now are at $17 million, a substantial savings through multi-agency cooperation. So lastly, thank you for your consideration of the region's need for this improvement of the last remaining unimproved section of Highway 101 south of State Highway 5. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Chairman and members.
Please identify yourself for the record and go ahead.
I'm Todd Gerhardt, City Manager for the City of Chanhassen, and I can tell you that City Council supports this project 100%. We have the support from Carver County Commissioners. Randy Mluchnik, who will be testifying earlier, supports this project. Representative Commissioner Workman also supports this project.
Thank you. Any closing remarks, Representative Hoppe?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so you can't quite see it on the map, but just to the south of there is the river, and there is a brand new sparkly bridge that's a couple of years old because the old one was a problem. That's the spirit. But there's a brand new roundabout there. If you go north of there, it goes up to Flying Cloud Airport, Hennepin County 61. If you go south or east of there, that's Carver County 61. And this is the last section that would really help things out. And, Mr. Chair, we've decided to leave you that chart. We'll have it put in your office.
You're so generous, Representative.
You seem very interested.
I don't know how I can express my thanks.
With that, Mr. Chair and members, we very much appreciate the time and the ability to come and tell you about this important project. Thank you.
Thank you for bringing the bill forward. Next, Representative Hansen with House File 618.
Mr. Chair, do you want the tripod with that?
The color really doesn't match my decor. Otherwise, I'd be happy to take that, too.
Thank you.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I don't have the sparkly bridge like Representative Hoppe does, but I do have an awesome project, so awesome it's got two bills, and we've had a third bill on taxes to try to find a way of providing funding for the State Trunk Highway 952A, also known as Robert Street Reconstruction. And, Mr. Chair, I know you're aware of this. I think most of the committee members are. Robert Street through West St. Paul and St. Paul and in Denver Grove is a state highway. And you're having a sheet passed out that provides information on the typical construction pie chart of funding. Typically, on a project like this, you have a local share of about 18%. With a state and federal mix of 82%. The Robert Street reconstruction has had a state-federal share of 36% with a local cost of 64%. And you know, frankly, Mr. Chair members, that's not right. That's not the way things should be done. And construction had to start here in order to capture the federal dollars that were applied for. A lot of work has been done, but I have with me today the mayor of West St. Paul, who's going to give an update, and also staff from West St. Paul to talk about what the local component is. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Please identify yourself for the record and go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Jenny Halverson. I'm the mayor of West St. Paul. Again, we're here to talk about State Trunk Highway 952A. It's also known as Robert Street in the 2.5 miles that runs through the heart of our city in West St. Paul. To borrow a term that would make all of my kids roll their eyes because it's so 2015, Robert Street was a hot mess, and it was an alarmingly dangerous mess. Between the years of 2006 to 2014, we experienced over 1,100 crashes. Of those, 9 were serious crashes resulting in serious injuries, and 3 of those were fatalities. Alarm bells were going off with MnDOT engineers, with our city public works officials, with our elected representatives, and with our residents. According to MnDOT's own standards, our pavement index rating is in the bottom 8% of all roads in Minnesota, and we are in the top 5 for the number of crashes. The condition of Robert Street was so deplorable that ambulances refused to use the road to transport, even if it was the shortest route, because it was not safe to transport their patients or crews given the state of the roadway. Given the dire circumstances, we were awarded $8 million in federal grant money to help repair and reconfigure to reduce the number of serious crashes along this stretch of state highway. That grant money was set to expire in May of 2015. It was a use-it or lose-it proposition. We were forced into the position of either moving forward or stopping, waiting, when we were not yet on the calendar at all in the foreseeable future, and losing that $8 million. Our residents expected that it would be fixed, and it was increasingly needed. We had no choice but to move forward with this project. We're here to tell the state that we need a proportionate contribution for this piece of their state highway system. Right now, the residents of West St. Paul bear nearly 60% of the total cost of this project. We're not asking the state to pick up the tab. We're only asking for equity and fairness by increasing the state contribution by $12 million, which would result in a share of 44% for the state. It's also important to note that this stretch of road generates at least $17 million a year in state sales tax. We're asking for less than what Robert Street generates in 1 year be returned to help our residents. This is a real issue for us as a first-ring suburb with an aging population. Our residents need you to help us realize a fair and equitable resolution, and this bill offers that. Thank you for your time and your consideration this afternoon.
Thank you, Mayor Halverson. Please identify yourself for the record and go ahead with your testimony.
Yep. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you for having us. I'm Ryan Schrader. I'm the interim city manager for the city of West St. Paul. While I've been with the city of West St. Paul only a short period of time, I've spent the last 35 years managing cities within this state. During the course of my career, I have been involved in construction projects for a myriad state and federal highways, including highways 47, 55, 81, 100, 169, and US 10 and US 61. For each of these projects in the past, I was the local government person responsible for making the numbers work. For each of these state projects, the local participation was affordable. Typically, the local cost share ranged in that 10 to 20% range that Representative Hansen already mentioned. Then I arrived at West St. Paul, which is in the midst of dealing with the reconstruction of State Highway 952, as mentioned. For the State Highway, as displayed in your handout, the local share is currently projected at 64%, and the state and federal share is that 36% we mentioned, but 18%, or half of that, is the state share. The city of West St. Paul has already issued debt to fund this project and will be going into the market again this year to fund the right-of-way acquisition and the construction cost. Now, the portion of the construction cost that is kind of the local costs like sidewalks and pipe and things like that, that's an acceptable portion of fund. But the city is funding most of the construction cost in the roadway itself on the state highway, We need your help to mitigate the taxpayer impact on that debt. Without your help, this debt will have a deleterious impact upon the West St. Paul budgets, West St. Paul taxpayers, for a generation. West St. Paul residents need you to help us realize a fair and equitable relief so that that situation doesn't happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Schrader. Representative Hansen, any closing remarks? And we're covering both bills this time. Is that correct?
That's correct. Any way you can provide help, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, this is a very serious project. West St. Paul is only about 20,000 people, and it's a very we have a lot of seniors in our district on fixed incomes, making the property taxpayers of West St. Paul pick up the tab for a state highway is not appropriate. And so I'd ask for your help. I think, Mr. Chair, I just would ask for your help on this. It's very important.
Thank you, Representative Hansen, for bringing forward House File 126 and 618. Next up, we have Representative Schumacher with House File 176. Welcome to committee, Representative Schumacher. Please introduce your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 176 helps start a road on Township Road. New Vision Co-op in my district is doing a $9.5 million project expansion, which creates 9 new jobs in the area. The expansion takes place 4,130 feet off a tar road, and the current load limit will not withstand the new traffic that's there. With me today is Rock County Administrator Kyle Oldry to further explain the situation.
Please identify yourself for the record and go ahead with your testimony.
My name is Kyle Oldry. I'm the County Administrator and Emergency Management Director for Rock County. I'm here on behalf of actually Clinton Township, one of my townships in the county. The road is a township road. The development is actually a fertilizer facility. It will generate in excess of 150 trucks a day in and out of the facility. The reason that it's located in that particular area is rather than put the facility in a community, they chose to move it out of town and then placed on a rail access so that it, for safety reasons, putting my EM hat on it, for safety reasons, it's a great location to get it out of the community. But to do that, we need to do some upgrades to the infrastructure to support it. We're looking at a full depth reclamation. It is 500,000, but it will bring it to 10 tons, so they won't be hampered by the load limits, so they'll be able to do commerce year round.
Thank you.
Pretty straightforward.
Very good. Any closing remarks, Representative Schumacher?
No, sir.
Thank you for bringing House File 176 to the committee. Next, we have Representative Grunhagen with House File 88. Welcome to committee, Representative. Please introduce your bill.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman and members, for hearing this bill. On Highway 212, I have with me Chair Hoppe and also Commissioner Mulichek, who will make a presentation on the highway.
Thank you. Please identify yourself for the record and go ahead with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. I'm Randy Mulichek, Carver County Commissioner, and I'd like to thank Representative Grunhagen for bringing this bill forward. U.S. Highway 212 is a major corridor in Minnesota, one that provides a critical farm-to-market link for western Minnesota and the Twin Cities area. This corridor provides highway freight mobility for over 22,000 square miles and carries more trucks daily than the local traffic volume on 40% of Minnesota's highways combined. The corridor serves over 65 major freight generators, providing access to ports, rail, and other modes. However, the corridor still suffers from the two-lane gaps and otherwise a four-lane corridor in Carver County. Improvements to U.S. Highway 212 are critical to the safety and continued economic growth of the region. The county, the Southwest Corridor Coalition, and the Minnesota Department of Transportation have worked together to develop and design for needed safety improvements. These projects are shovel-ready design, officially mapping, and the environmental documentations are complete. These projects will address corridor segments and intersections within the two-lane gaps that are experiencing higher than average crash rates. As you can see from Representative Grunhagen's strong support, improvements in Carver County will benefit the entire Highway 212 corridor, all the way out to western Minnesota. That's the reason why 41 communities and local chambers of commerce and boards of commissioners from every county along the corridor passed resolutions supporting capacity improvements to Highway 212. The funding contained in House File 88, along with local and federal funds, will allow major improvements along this corridor to occur, improving safety and the flow of products to important Twin Cities market. We urge your support of this legislation. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members.
Thank you, Commissioner. Representative Hoppe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I enjoyed my experience in front of this committee a lot, so I got this opportunity to come back, and I jumped at it. In all seriousness, this is when we have meetings, when there are meetings for the 212 Corridor Coalition, people drive for 2 hours to get to the meetings. And so this segment of road that we were wanting to fix is in Carver County, but it means a lot more to the people from Granite Falls and Montevideo than it does to the people in Carver County. It truly is everywhere from Hennepin County to South Dakota. Every single city, every single chamber of commerce, and I believe every single legislator supports the upgrades to this section of 212. Mr. Chair and members, I truly appreciate your opportunity to be here again.
Thank you, Representative Hoppe. Any closing remarks, Representative Gernhagen?
Yeah, just very quickly. My sister works for a dentist in Glencoe. He started his practice in early 1960s. He was told by the Glencoe City Council that in a few years we'd have four lane all the way up to Glencoe. He's retired and gone now from the community, okay? And we still don't have the four lane. So I believe in taking turns. I think it's our turn for all the reasons stated and other. You also have Hutchinson, one of the largest cities in Minnesota that does not have four-lane access, which would have access if we started completing these sections. And finally, Mr. Chair, I believe the bill and funding is included in the Senate omnibus bill, so it would be nice if you matched it up. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Gernhagen. Does your sister serve on the school board by any chance?
No, she doesn't. She saw me get... Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Thank you. Next, we have Representative Lucero with House File 385. Please introduce your bill, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And actually, I don't have. Could you tell me what the bill number is?
The bill is
385. Thank you, Mr. Chair. House File 385 is having to do with three lanes on I-94 from St. Michael to Albertville. And I will turn it over to a great team of testifiers.
Thank you. Please identify yourself for the record and go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Steve Bott. I'm the City Administrator and Engineer for the City of St. Michael and also the Chair of the I-94 Coalition. We've been before you before talking about unleashing the mobility on 94 and appreciate your past support for the Corridors of Commerce program that we've benefited from. Today I'm here to talk about the segment that the second phase of Corridors of Commerce teed up. You approved $1.4 million to get the design going, and we will have that ready to be shovel ready here this spring if we can get construction funding. This segment between St. Michael and Albertville, and the two mayors are with us as well to testify on this, is truly the economic lifeblood through Minnesota. The interregional corridor that comes through this area represents 40% of the congestion between Maple Grove and St. Cloud, but yet is only 1.6% of the mileage. The return on the investment with the high ADT and freight volumes is incredible. The bottleneck that's currently there that can be relieved through this project to the benefit of commerce is remarkable. We do have people from up in the businesses and others, chambers all the way along the corridor up to St. Cloud, including Golden Plump up in that area that has gone and actually calculated the amount of money they lose on this corridor sitting in traffic, and it's in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. And you multiply that over and over, and it's very incredible. We also know that safety-wise, this area has about twice the state average, both in terms of crash rates and severity, and some black iron bridges that ultimately need to get replaced by MnDOT. It's one of the top priorities in District 3 to get done, and really appreciate your help and support for both this bill and the Quarters of Commerce program. And with that, I'll turn it over to the Albertville Mayor, Jillian Hendrickson.
Thank you. Please identify yourself for the record and go ahead.
Jillian Hendrickson, Albertville Mayor. Apologize, I have a bit of a cold, but thank you, Chair Torkelson, for having us here today. As Steve covered most all of it, I did want to comment on the potential economic development that we have in Albertville and also in St. Michael and the areas around us in Wright County. We're one of the fastest growing counties in the state in population, and also we have a lot of opportunities coming for future businesses. But those businesses won't be successful and vital unless we continue to improve the road structure. I'm no stranger to driving. I'm a professional healthcare representative. I travel every day on the roads. There's no mistake in saying that you know, the entire state needs improvements in roads, but our stretch of 94 is one of the biggest arteries that runs through the state. So I appreciate your support, especially in the corridors program, and then also for our area with this bill. So thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
And Mr. Chair, I would just point out as well that one of the potential economic development benefits is the Sony Entertainment Center that's being spoken about. You may have seen in the headlines in the last year or so. That would go in Albertville. So with that, I'll turn it over to the Mayor of St. Michael.
Thank you. Please identify yourself for the record and go ahead.
I'm Kevin Castle, Mayor of St. Michael. Chair and the members, thanks for having us here to testify today. One of the main things that I want to look at is just the cost to businesses of having this bottleneck in this area. One of our local businesses, J&B Group, which makes no-name steaks, so that's a name that you should recognize. They have a plant not only in St. Michael, but they also have one up in Waite Park. So they're kind of at both ends of this, and getting this as a first step to getting that St. Michael to St. Cloud corridor widened up so that it can accommodate business traffic better would be a great asset to our community. Plus, I'd probably get a few less phone calls from residents about when we're going to get this expanded so they can wait less time in their cars. So I thank you for having us up.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Any closing remarks, Representative Lucero?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I thank you for this opportunity to come here and highlight this very important project for the state, and I appreciate my testifiers coming down in favor. Thank you.
Thank you for bringing the bill to the committee. Next up, Representative Metza with House File 432 and House File 415.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members, and I did make a commitment to be very brief. So we've got one bill, House File 415, which was before the committee last year in bonding, deals with overage in Highway 53's utility relocation. We're here today seeking the funding for that. Due to the fact that it was already spent, we have to ask for general fund money, and so we appreciate the committee's consideration in that. We also have another project in the community of Mountain Iron with a federal highway 169. The county is also doing some work along with the city. And between those, we felt it would be a good time to ask for some local matching funds so we could maximize the business opportunity on what we call Enterprise Drive, North Enterprise Drive in the city of Mountain Iron. With that, I'll turn it over to my crew here.
Thank you. Please introduce yourself for the record and go ahead.
Mr. Chair, committee members, my name is Greg French. I'm the general manager of the Virginia Department of Public Utilities. I'll be speaking on the Highway 53 funding. Our Highway 53 project, again, it's a MnDOT project. It's a major NAFTA corridor. MnDOT has relocated approximately 3 miles of Highway 53 within the corporate limits of the city of Virginia. Along with that was major utility relocation. Through the expedited process that MnDOT had to follow, being a construction management general contractor type of a process, we have fallen about approximately $5 million short, and of which we call our project funding gap. Those monies were included in last year's bonding bills. They're also included in the governor's bill, and we're here today asking for your support in helping us with that $5 million funding gap.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Please identify yourself for the record and go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members. I'm Steve Skogman. I'm a member of the Mount Marion City Council. U.S. Highway 169 is a major east-west roadway in northeastern Minnesota. This is a multi-million dollar reconstruction of this highway this year. This reconstruction mandate improvements at our city intersection. It will cost $538,000, and we seek this from the bonding bill in the local road improvement account. This intersection is extremely important to our regional economy and access to our industrial park. As a small population city, we're under 3,000. With over 60 square miles of area, we frankly cannot afford this mandated expense. We would appreciate your support, and the local road improvement fund is exactly the position to assist us. Thank you.
Thank you. Please identify yourself for the record and go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Peter Zatoni. I'm a resident of the city of Mountain Iron and a member of the Mountain Iron Economic Development Authority. I'm here just to ask again for your support regarding this bill. Currently, there are 17 small businesses on Enterprise Drive North, one of which I own. We will be directly affected by this intersection change as well as the other businesses. So I'm here merely to ask for your support regarding the bill 432. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any closing remarks, Representative Metza?
Thank you for your time, Mr. Chair and committee members.
Thank you for bringing these bills to our attention. Next up, we have Representative Mahoney with House File 134. Welcome to Transportation Finance, Representative Mahoney. Please go ahead with your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. I was told you're trying to do 60 bills in 4 hours. So, House File 134, this is my testifier, Mike Rogers. He will answer any questions I can't or may have a few words of wisdom for that I don't have. This is a request for $1 million for pre-design and design activities to upgrade the crossing for the Union Pacific Railroad and BNSF Railway grade separation in downtown St. Paul. It has matching funds from the railroads. This grade separation will increase capacity at this particular junction. We now have, happens quite often, we have one train blocking the tracks for 45 minutes, and all the other trains have to wait. And it will improve safety by creating eliminating the at-grade crossing for two main lines. This came out of the East Metro Rail Capacity Study, and this particular part of the rail, our nation's rail system, carries about 5% of the rail traffic going across the United States. It is an important piece to speed it up and make it safer. There, I think I've got it under 45 seconds, so it leaves my testifier a minute. Do you have anything to add of great importance?
One thing, just thank you, Mr.
Please identify yourself for the record.
Mike Rogers from the Ramsey County Rail Authority.
Okay, go ahead.
I'd like to add is, as part of that 5% of the nation's freight volume goes through this junction, so it's a very busy junction. It's one of the biggest bottlenecks between Chicago and the West Coast, and it's on the transcontinental main lines for both Canadian Pacific Railroad, Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad, and it's Union Pacific's main track between the Twin Cities and Chicago. So it's a very important rail junction, and if we are not able to fix it, a lot of that freight traffic will ultimately shift over to highways, and we've heard a lot today about improvements needed to highways due to increased traffic and increased freight demands on them. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
My closing remarks are you should be getting this in hand, and the piece that's important is what it's going to be doing on the back page. Yep. On the back page here, the grade separation. With that, I'll close my remarks. Hopefully you can help us get this planning and pre-design done so that we can actually start moving traffic through downtown St. Paul faster.
Thank you, Representative Mahoney, for bringing this bill to our attention.
Hopefully my timeliness gets us a little bit better consideration.
You know, we're ahead of schedule, Representative. So
I got more to say.
But, but if you should try to extend your time, you might regret it. Next up, Representative Loon with House File 2093. Welcome to the Transportation Finance, Representative Loon. Please go ahead with your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I am very pleased to present House File 2093. And I think it's important to note that this is my fifth term in the Minnesota House. I have never been asked to carry a bonding bill for my city. This is the first one. So, but it's a very important project. It has to do with rail crossings and safety. We have a rail crossing near the high school in Eden Prairie, and even though the city's tried to kind of fence it off, the kids do walk a path through it and across the tracks. It's a safety concern. So we are asking for $1.4 million to some upgrades to these crossings. And I haven't asked our Public Works Director of the City of Eden Prairie, Bob Ellis, to tell us about this.
Thank you. Please identify yourself for the record and go ahead with your testimony.
Robert Ellis, Public Works Director for the City of Eden Prairie, and thank you, Chair Torkelson and committee members, for allowing us the time to talk about this project. A little bit of detail. We're actually asking for two items included in this bonding bill. The first is to make a pedestrian safety improvement to what's, quite frankly, it's a cattle path. It's an unofficial crossing. My family lives in this area, and I've frequently gone out there and counted how many high school students and elementary students, because there's an elementary school just two blocks away, cross here on a daily basis, and it's upwards of 60 when you just look at arrival dismissal times. I will say Eden Prairie High School football team is playing. It's in the hundreds of number of crossings. And quite frankly, the largest crossing that I've seen is the night of caucuses, right, where there are maybe 1,000 people attending the caucus crossing this unofficial trail that's actually marked no trespassing. And unfortunately, we have had a fatality here. We've had one high school student that was hit by a train and killed. And almost every year that I've lived in Eden Prairie, the last 5 years, I've received a phone call from TCNW Railroad explaining that there was another near miss. And oftentimes it's an attentiveness. It's watching your phone, earbuds in, and you're just looking straight ahead and you don't realize there's a train coming. So we know we have a problem here, and we know it's just a matter of time before there's another major incident. So we'd like to be proactive and try to make this a safe crossing with gates, with the warning signs, with the flashing lights. So that is a part of the request. The other part of the bonding request is actually to create a quiet zone, and I think you've heard that today, a couple of other cities. Quite frankly, this is a quality of life issue, quality of community. We have approximately 1,200 residential units that live within what I call the whistle zone. And what that is when the train comes through in the middle of the night, as it does almost every night, if you're laying in bed, it's going to wake you up and you're going to hear that. So we oftentimes receive requests, complaints, letters to the editors, you name it, people that want us to explore the quiet zone. So that would be a large part of this request, too. Total request, $1.4 million. And with that, I appreciate your support, Jennifer Loon, Representative Loon, and Chair and committee members. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ellis. Any closing remarks, Representative Loon?
No, just want to thank you very much for hearing these bills, Chair Torkelson, and I appreciate the committee's time.
Say, Representative Loon, I've heard a rumor that you've been waiting all these years to bring forward a bonding bill until you thought there was a soft touch chairing the bonding committee. Is this true?
No comment, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Loon. Next up, we have Representative Becker Finn with House File 125. Welcome to committee, Representative. Please go ahead and present your bill.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am here to present House File 125. I got this introduced the very first week of session. It's a long overdue project involving 694 and the Rice Street Bridge. And I'm going to have my testifier, an engineer from Ramsey County, explain the project a little further.
Thank you. Please introduce yourself for the record and go ahead with your testimony.
Thank you. My name is Beth Engham. I am a project manager and engineer for Ramsey County Public Works. And as Ms. Finn said, I'm here to talk about the Rice Street and 694 interchange, which is so much more than an interchange reconstruction project. It's very heavily an economic development project, given the area
that we're talking about. There's three communities impacted by this bottleneck. We've been here before to ask for money, and we haven't been successful. But this area is ripe for redevelopment, including a 12-acre site that currently sits vacant. It has great visibility on 694. This area is already seeing some redevelopment, but there's so much more potential. We need to leverage all the improvements that have been poured into this area recently. There's been about $300 million in improvements on 694, 35E, Highway Snelling and Highway 10. You're probably familiar with all those projects, but this is the last piece that really needs to be addressed in the area in order to relieve congestion for all the area businesses and really unlock the potential for redevelopment in this area.
Thank you. Any last closing remarks?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to reiterate again, this project is long overdue. I actually looked back when Senator Scalzi was Representative Scalzi. This was introduced back in 2011. It's been included in many iterations of bonding bills, but never actually gotten that final signature so that this project can be completed. We have broad bipartisan support. People always say that, but this project truly does have that. Countywide and across the North Metro, it's the cities impacted are Little Canada, Shoreview, and Badness Heights. Representative Jessup is the second author on this bill. We've both been working really hard with Ramsey County to try to make this a reality finally. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. I'm going to actually ask a question. This is the first question of the day, actually. Wasn't there an issue with the capacity of the bridge as far as the freeway end of the bridge? Did that get resolved somehow?
I will allow my testifier to answer that question.
Yes, Representative Torkelson, we actually do have a bridge that is geometrically deficient for the amount of traffic that goes through that area. There's about 20,000 cars per day that go over this bridge on 694, or over 694, so we really need to widen the bridge and replace it as it is an aging structure.
And was there an issue with the capacity for the freeway itself? I'm just trying to shake my memory loose.
That's a great question. There's actually a project that the state DOT is right in the middle of, adding that third lane on 694, the beltway around the North Metro. It's the only part of the beltway that didn't already have three lanes, and that project will be completed this year. So in terms of readiness, we're very ready for this project in terms of the area needing it and also us being ready to deliver it as soon as we have the money.
And so they were able to fit six lanes in that existing bridge. Okay, thank you. Thanks. We've had your closing remarks.
Just wanted to thank you for, I guess we feel special with the one question for the day. So thank you, Chair Torkelson.
We're very fortunate that we're ahead of schedule.
Thank you. Thank you.
Representative Paul Anderson with House File 948. Representative Anderson, you have the honor of finishing a double marathon. I didn't know you were in that good a shape.
Well, Mr. Chair, since I was scheduled for 4:25, I have seven testifiers.
Yeah. I hope you can fit them all in your office, Representative. Go ahead and present.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Mr. Chair, members. Congratulations on your patience of a long day, and congratulations for being ahead of schedule. This bill calls for grade separation crossing between Glenwood and Alexandria. Been down here before. And I think what separates this one from some other grade separation crossings is that Glenwood is a major rail hub for the CP Rail. So the trains that cross this area, this highway, it's about a mile out of Glenwood. And trains are either speeding up coming out of Glenwood or slowing down coming into the Glenwood yard. And waits of 10 to 15 to 20 minutes are not uncommon when the train is going across at a very slow speed. And it exasperates people if they're trying to get to Alec to work or come home, whatever, to get stopped by the train and wait 15 minutes. As you've heard before also, Mr. Chair members, safety is a concern. With folks on the other side of the tracks. In fact, I talked to a county commissioner this morning about coming down to testify, And he said his wife had a heart attack last Sunday, and had they been on the other side of the tracks trying to get to the hospital back in Glenwood, and she was airlifted to St. Cloud, safety is a factor in some of these crossings that take a long time to clear. This is two major highways, Highway 29, Highway 55, and a major CP rail line. And we've been asking for this for a number of years, and I think it's in the top 10 list, but not quite maybe high enough to reach your pinnacle. But we keep asking, and hopefully one of these years we can strike gold. And it's really needed back at home, and we're going to keep trying.
Very good. Any questions for Representative Anderson? We have the luxury of some extra time here. If you want to grill him, you sure can. Any final remarks?
No. Again, thank you for hearing the bill. For these short durations, the commissioners didn't think it was necessary for them to come down, but there's full support from the county, the commissioners in Glenwood, Pope County. And they strongly support this project, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. Members, we have completed the bills on our agenda for today. Representative Hornstein would like
to
extend the duration.
I understand that Ms. Peter really did a lot of the legwork and the heavy lifting for this hearing. So I think she should be acknowledged, because this is probably the longest hearing in my tenure in terms of number of bills, not duration. So maybe she has some secret that she could pass on to other staff.
You're incorrect, Representative Hornstein. She didn't do some of the heavy lifting. She did all of the heavy lifting.
Okay. So thank you.
With that, members, we are adjourned.